Blog Talk Radio.
Better than diamond rings, that's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe-to-toe, football.
So old-timers, do you remember the names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff, in the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Leg Church, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say Perry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore, is them my dog, they seem to always score. Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years, Gene Big Daddy, Liston was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham, Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Gallop and goes. He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle, Ally Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football.
Hey, 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 welcome to the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show. We are live from the CMT Firestorm Studios in Tampa, Florida. I am your host, Carson Mathis, where the theme of the show is to give raw, uncut, and unedited objective analysis on major college and pro football. Let me introduce the panel. Callie Mike, what's up? Callie Mike, what's up? You there? All right, Chi-Town, what's up? Chi-Town, what's up?
Oh, you know, my bad, you know, take it. What's going on, everybody? Chi-Town in the house, ready for another good show.
You know, all right, yeah, we got some.
Down to the nitty-gritty of the NFL, so hey, let's talk about it.
All right, we had some technical difficulties with Callie Mike, but I'm pretty sure he'll come on in a second. Tex, what's up?
What's going on, buddy? Get into it.
All right, definitely, definitely. Again, we are here for the next 2 hours. If you want to call in, you can, 347-237-5539, CMT Firestorm. We welcome all opinions on major college and pro football. What I want to talk about here first is we want to get into a little college. College is kind of slow right now, but there's some interesting things we can talk about in regard to just, you know, the NFL draft coming up. I guess my question, first and foremost, is there a player coming out of college this year you think that can come in to an NFL or even in the future, sort of like an RG3 kind of a player or a Cam Newton kind of a player, just somebody that can change the face of a franchise? Is there a player that you can foresee right now that has that potential based on what you've seen right now since they played in college? Let me start with you, Tex, and get your opinion on that.
You mean like a quarterback? Or?
It could be a quarterback. It could be a defensive end. It could be, any position, any position.
Well, I think you have the tackle down there at Texas A&M, Jokel.
Okay.
I think he could be a cornerstone of a franchise. I think Jarvis Jones is the kind of player, and put him in an attacking 4-3 or an attacking 3-4. You have a lot of success with him. Some of the defensive end. I know people want to talk about Teo as a cornerstone, and I think he'll be a solid NFL player. But this is just me and my preference. I'm looking for I'd be looking for versatility, not so much as a 255 pound middle linebacker type thumper. I mean, that's not where the league is going. I have questions about Teo as far as being a cornerstone defensively, but I don't know if there's any players, great players out there like, oh, if I'm starting a franchise, bam, this is the guy I want. I don't think there are any guys out there, but I think there are a lot of guys with potential, a lot of talent out there, especially on defense.
Okay. Let me get your opinion, Shatown. Let me get your opinion.
You talking about it says some quarterbacks you're talking about that's going to have impact, like you're thinking about RG3 or Andrew Luck. That's what you're talking about, right, Clyzel?
No, it doesn't have to be a quarterback. It could be a, you know, it could be a, defensive lineman. You know, it could be like a Von Miller kind of a guy. It could be like a, I mean, somebody who's going to be that, you could see could be, could change, like an Ndamukong Suh kind of a guy. Like, you know, when he came out of Nebraska, he came to Detroit, he changed the face of the franchise, basically, with his presence, his type of play. Do you see a player of that caliber coming into this year's draft?
It's still kind of early to me and premature saying that yet, because, you know, the draft and the combine, all that stuff hasn't happened yet, so I'm going to still wait and see approach on that. But like Tech was saying about the guy from Notre Dame, it would surprise me if he make a, you know, an impact, because I think he's going to be a real good player. But other than that, just wait and see approach, you know. I know everybody expecting everything to be like impact like that, but hey, it's not going to happen every year.
Okay. All right. Cali Mike, I think we got Cali Mike back with us. What's your take on this? Who do you think is going to come in? What players luring in college right now that could be an impact player coming into the league?
Okay, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. That was Roger Goodell I had on the other line. He was asking me questions. You know, like Texas said, there's not really that many cornerstone players in this draft, if any. But what there are is there's a lot of good players that are going to fill rosters. And, you know, some of these guys are going to make Pro Bowls. And, you know, you can see a lot of guys are going to have long NFL careers. I can look at the quarterback. Really, besides Matt Barkley and Geno Smith, I don't think there's any, you know, first-round quarterback rating, and neither one of them I would have, you know, as a number one pick. Defensive, I think, is going to be a strong part of this draft. You have Charlotte coming out of Utah. He's more of a nose tackle, space eater kind of guy. A guy who I would keep a look on is Sheldon Richardson out of Missouri. We're getting a lot of feedback too from somebody's computer. So if you turn down your speakers, that'd be good.
Okay.
We're getting a Sheldon Richardson out of Missouri. He's a physical specimen. He can move. He disrupts teams. He can get in the backfield, and he has a pretty good size on him. Tech Van Emmons is going to be putting out a couple of tackles. Luke Jocko and Jake Matthews. Both of them are pretty highly rated. Both of them should be in the top 15. I like Keenan Allen out of California. He's never really had a good or elite quarterback to throw him the ball, and he's put up pretty good numbers over the past 3 years. So I think he's a player that if you give him the right kind of quarterback, he can really shine. I think he's going to shine in the combine too. He's really fast. He's about 6'2", 6'3". Other than that, you know, you got Jarvis Jones, and he's a pretty outside linebacker. He's not quite the physical specimen of like a DeMarcus Ware or anybody like that, but he's a good speed rusher. And I think he can get in there and make plays. And, you know, when you look at Manny Te'o, he's a middle linebacker, but unless you're a super middle linebacker like a Ray Lewis, it's really hard to make, to make a defining impact in that position. Because, like I say, middle linebackers, by definition, are going to rack up a lot of tackles. So unless you can do something extra, it's kind of hard to separate yourself from everybody else.
Okay. Let's see, and if anybody wants to call in, call in numbers 347-237-5539. I want to hear what a caller has to say, our favorite person, Watley. Oh, I guess he must have left right here. But I like Manti Te'o. I think Manti Te'o can make an impact. I mean, you see what he's doing in college football. I think he could be at that Ray Lewis ilk. I don't know if, you know, he's not going to – well, I don't know. He could be one of these yelling screamers like Ray Lewis is. But I think he can be of that Ray Lewis caliber when he gets into the league. Hold on, let me see what Wiley here has to say. Hey, what's up, Wiley?
What's up, fellas? Merry Christmas, everybody. I know we're late, but we're going to be a day late for Christmas and a day late for New Year's, aren't we?
Yeah.
But Merry Christmas, everybody. For me, I think the impact players coming out of the draft this year are going to be offensive linemen. The unsung heroes. Why? Because it's a situation right now where a lot of these quarterbacks are struggling because they don't have a good offensive line. And they're going to have to fill those holes. They're going to have to take some of these old guys and just tell them it's time for you to go because these young guys are running you over. So I really think this year's draft is going to be about offensive line. I think at least two or three of the top 15, are going to be offensive linemen.
Okay. So you're more so of the offensive lineman as more of an impact. I mean, can an offensive lineman change a franchise, though? We're talking about players like are coming. I mean, like one offensive line. Like what offensive lineman in history?
I think an offensive lineman, if he's dominant, can change a franchise. You look at the Houston Texans and Tony Boselli. I mean, what was that franchise after Boselli got hurt? You know, if he would have been healthy, you know, you could have had a different story. If David Carr could have been a different successful quarterback, you know, but it seems like once Boselli got hurt, you know, it was a wrap. You know, nobody really had. But before that, you know, and like I said, you look at other teams, and, you know, once that left tackle gets hurt or gets injured, you know, and people start getting that quarterback, it affects the whole team. You know,
when that quarterback can't protect his back, that's the end of the offense for that. When he keeps getting tackled, he keeps getting rushed, he keeps getting hurried to the point of where he can't get good throws off, then that disrupts the entire offense. And because that disrupts the entire offense, I think that one person protecting that quarterback's back makes all the difference on that offense.
Okay.
Here's let me add on to something real quick. Here's my thing about offensive tackles. You have elite pass rushers coming off both edges. So in teams are going with this, are really getting into this gut pressure, this what they call sugar. The interior linemen are now more important than ever. The interior man that's a guard that can pop in and play center and maybe move out the tackle. Those are the guys the teams are looking for right now. I mean, they're looking at old tackles just like they're looking at cornerbacks now. Like, oh, you know, everybody's passing. I need three Revises or. Oh, you know, they have a elite pass rusher on the left end, on the strong side. So I need Joe Thomas on the left side. I need Joe Thomas on the right side.
Right. I totally agree. And like I said, I don't have one name to give you because I think there are several teams that need that. They need those pieces on that offensive line. And I think that offensive linemen are going to be the key in the draft this year. I mean, on several different teams.
Especially my Bears because we definitely need it.
Okay. Well, hold on now. Let me move on with the. Well, not moving on, but let me get to another caller here. I'm gonna put you on hold real quick, Wiley.
All right.
Let me hear what James has to say. What's good, James?
Hey, yeah, man. Happy holidays to all of y'all. But I think everybody, all the columnists know that impact player is no other or none other than that Dean Milner, man. He's gonna straight shut up, shut down all the.
He's
all
gonna
the
hey, shut down one side of the field. I mean, he's not Dion. He ain't Dion. He ain't Dion, but he's like not Nnamdi. I equate him to Nnamdi. He's Nnamdi Jr. Nnamdi Jr. That's what I equate him to. So,
wow.
Nnamdi Jr. He is Nnamdi Jr. Man, in his heyday, you know, when he was with the Eagles, when he was with Oakland. But anyway,
okay. Let me ask you this question. On a scale of 100, what grade would you give D. Milner?
On a scale of 100, I'd give him about a good 89. You talking about 100 being the best of all time, and then
we're just talking like regular NFL draft grade on a scale of 100.
I don't know about that.
You give him an 89 on a scale of all time rate.
What are you talking about? NFL draft grade? Like, hold on, you said NFL. Let me finish, Kelly White. You talking about in terms of production? See, I put more of my emphasis on production. I don't really look at like prototypical size, prototypical, you know, like the speed and things like that. Even though he kind of has that somewhat, it's just he's not 200 pounds. He's like in that 190 range, that 6'1" range, you know. But I still, in terms of like, you know, being able to cover well and be able to stop the run well, I put him at a high grade on those two. That's why I said 89. But if you talk about one, like, if you wanted me comparing to one of the greatest of all time, like Deion or something like that, I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying he's a good, he's like Namdi.
So his draft grade for you would be 89 out of 100.
Based on the criteria of production at Alabama, you know, if you're talking about like he's the greatest defensive back I've seen in the past 10 years, absolutely not.
Just college.
As a matter of fact, I mean, maybe, okay, 85 out of 100, 85.
So
85
would you,
to 89.
Like, would you consider him better than Drake Kirkpatrick?
Oh yeah, definitely. He's better than Drake. He was better than Drake Kirkpatrick when he was at Alabama, when Drake Kirkpatrick was in Alabama. Drake Kirkpatrick can stop the run. He's a good run support, but in terms of cover, he's not all that, you know. He ain't all that. So, but what I'm saying
honestly,
is Miller brings both to the table. But Drake Kirkpatrick is a little bit more prototypical.
I think both of them cats is overrated, to tell you the truth. I mean, I look
I
at
think Kirkpatrick. Kirkpatrick is overrated, but Miller's not overrated because this whole year at Alabama, he shut down one half of the field. He shut down one side of the field.
You know what? I'm not a fan of any of these Alabama DBs, to be honest with you.
I know.
It's just me. And as a matter of fact, I told a friend of mine, I was like, you know, going forward, watch out for Daquan Menzies. If somebody gets him and puts him at safety, he's going to be better than all the rest of these heralded Alabama defensive backs. Just, if the Chiefs, if they know what they're doing, if they give him a shot, put him in safety, he can probably do something. But they, you know, they all right at safety right now. But you know, like I say, I'm not impressed with any of these Alabama DBs. Kareem Jackson,
I mean,
wasn't impressed with him coming out. Milliner.
He made some plays in Houston.
He's been getting hurt.
I guess, whatever, man. If you say so. I mean, I guess, whatever.
They're not going after Jonathan Joseph.
That's true. All right, whatever, man.
He wasn't even starting until the injuries tore him up.
All right, well, I don't even think James got a chance to even say his point, but hopefully he'll call back in.
What guy you say that's going to be a safety? You think it's going to be converted to a safety? What player are you talking about?
We'll talk about that some other. It's Menzies, Daquan Menzies.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Let me get that next caller in here. Let me get this caller in here. 407. All right, something's wrong here. Let me bring Watley back in this conversation here. Watley, 850-813.
What's up?
What's going
For
on?
For me, you know, I'm still saying, and you know me, I try not to get into just individual talent because I truly believe the NFL and football in general is a team sport. And I'm still on the idea that we need to focus on, well, there's a lot of teams in the NFL, and I'm not going to name names because you know who you are, where they would have a much better team if they had a much better offensive line. And I really think that the draft needs to focus on fixing those holes in several different teams' offensive line, including my Pittsburgh Steelers, because they're out of the damn playoffs because our offensive line sucks.
I think the Steelers might have more problems than that, though, too, to tell you the truth.
I agree, but that is definitely one of their problems. They can't keep Roethlisberger from getting all this pressure, and then he has to run out of the pocket and then throw these crazy throws. And we need a more solid offensive line. It's that simple. And all them old dudes that used to be there for the last 10 years, it's time for them to go.
Yeah. I agree to you. Y'all offensive line, same problems as us, but just the positive side.
Or is it the fact that y'all couldn't run the ball? I mean, y'all couldn't really run the ball. You talking about pass protector or run protector?
Period.
Are you just
the offensive line ain't making no holes for the runners, and the offensive line ain't making a pocket for the quarterback.
Well, my only impact player, I mean, maybe it's the offensive line, but my only impact player is Manti Te'o. I think Manti Te'o will make a very good impact of wherever team he goes to.
I can't say that now. Come on. who's going to be number one overall this year, you think?
Kansas City or Jacksonville? Which is the conversation that we're about to get into next. What should they do with that pick? But let's just say if they keep the picks, whatnot. Who should they pick? I don't know. For Kansas City, you got so many holes, man. But obviously, they're gonna have to pick a quarterback. So it had to be between. I guess right now the top two are Matt Barkley and Geno Smith. So it's gonna have to be between one of those two. It depends, and it also depends on what type of coach. Is Romeo Crennel gonna be there?
He's only been there a year. They can't fire him already now.
Yeah, they will watch.
Crennel has earned another year at least.
Okay, and that's a conversation. That's another conversation we're going to get into a little later. That's another conversation we're going to get into a little later as far as who's going to be fired and who's not. But if I had to pick between who they should pick, right now, based on what I know right now, and that's going to be obviously going to change within the next few months. If I had to pick between Geno Smith and Matt Barkley, I'm going to go with Matt Barkley right now. That's why I'd pick at the number one right now for Kansas City for what they need, because both of them need quarterbacks. But I think Matt Barkley would be the number one pick right now for me.
If I was going to pick for Kansas City, I would take Matt Barkley too. But for Jacksonville, I don't know if I would pick him number one. I don't know. Jacksonville is a whole other. Jacksonville and Kansas City are two different situations. Kansas City is pretty much set up to where if you get a half-decent quarterback to come in there, you can at least have a 500 team.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. Jacksonville, and then
Jacksonville is the only different Carroll.
I disagree. I disagree totally. Why? Because for me, I can see Kansas City picking up a good quarterback that's already in the league for a trade or something, getting you a half-decent quarterback, and then picking up somebody in the first round for that line. Why? Because you've got a great running back in that backfield. If you can shore up that line and you can just trade for a half-decent quarterback, y'all can have a good team. It's just you got to have the right focus. And I don't think a quarterback spending all your money and all your trades on one quarterback is worth it. I really don't. I think you can get a good quarterback and just shore up that line.
All right, and I want to – hold on. We're going to get into that in the next topic here. What you just said right there as far as trading the pick down and getting a good quarterback in, because in the Tampa Bay area, they're kind of talking about that right now, who they should trade for. So that kind of gives you a hint of what we're about to talk about in the second topic here. But I'm going to put you on hold here, Wiley. We're going to get into that in the next topic. But let me just get this caller in, and then we're going to get to the next topic Wiley's talking about. 407. You there, 407.
What's going on?
What's going on? Steve, what's going on? I know this is you, man. What's up?
Man, I'm just listening.
Okay, you don't have anything chime in yet?
Nah, I ain't got nothing. I'm listening.
Okay. Okay, all right. Well, let us know when you got something to say. All right, we're going to put you back on hold here. We're going to get to the next topic here. Now, like Wiley was saying, we're about to put him back on. Kansas City, Jacksonville, one of those two will have the number one pick in the draft. what should they do with that pick? That's the question that we should talk about. Like a lot of things in the Tampa radio, obviously we talked about this last week, Josh Freeman. A lot of people are talking about Josh Freeman. They ain't really liking him here in Tampa. And they're trying to say they proposed, well, trade Josh Freeman to Kansas City. You know, he's from there and everything. And Kansas City will return in another pick, and then Tampa will get the number one pick so they can get a quarterback. So what do you think in terms of, like, the number one pick, like, for Kansas City or Jacksonville, what should they do? Should they keep it, or should they trade down and get more picks on what they need? Let me start with you, Callie Mike. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, first off, it's not that easy to trade a number one pick like everybody thinks. You know, it's almost easier to trade, you know, 2, 3, and 4 because, you know, pretty soon after the Senior Bowl and after the draft, I mean, after the combine, the number one pick is going to be pretty much assured. You know, we haven't had a surprise of who's going to be a number one pick in a long time. And I can't see just to address that situation in Tampa, I can't see Kansas City trading a number one for Josh Freeman. I mean, I can't see it happening. It's a lot of different factors involved in that, and you know, like I said, if I were Tampa, I wouldn't even do that anyway. You know, not because you don't want a number one, but you know, you can address different issues with your team. And Josh Freeman is still a quality quarterback. You know, like I say, both these quarterbacks in this draft, they're not. You know, they're good quarterbacks. You got Matt Barkley. He's a 4-year starter. He doesn't quite have the intangible. You know, even though I think arm strength is overrated. He does have, you know, he has leadership ability and he has good accuracy. You got Geno Smith, who I don't think he's Robert Griffin, but he does. He's shown that he can throw the ball. You know, I don't know against what kind of competition, but you know, you're gonna so like I said, basically you're gonna have those two guys. And like I say, I'm a Husky fan, but I don't think either one of them is a true number one. Like I said, I really feel it's hard for me to even look and see if there's a true number one in this whole draft. Really, I mean, there's not really any great players, but there's tons of good ones. There's guys that I think I'm great, you know, but it's hard, you know, but it's hard to take a number one pick based on, you know, based on potential. Like I said, that's more of a mid-first round, you know, kind of, you know, okay, this guy might be good, but it won't hurt us too much, you know. So, I can't see them making any trade for, you know, a quarterback like that. But, you know, in my opinion, Jacksonville has a lot more issues than quarterback. Like I said, I would see Jacksonville doing a deal like that before I would see Kansas City.
Okay.
At least Jacksonville will get the number one pick and maybe get a lower pick to where they could pick somebody else who could help their team.
So basically what I'm saying is so if you're Kansas City, you go through this pick. But if you're Jacksonville, you would trade down and get more picks, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Jacksonville obviously has a worse team than Kansas City. All right, let me get your opinion on this text. What's your opinion?
Well, I think my opinion, I think KC is a quarterback away. You might draft a young quarterback. You might make a play for Alex Smith.
Oh my God!
Hey,
to
the guy you'll eventually hand the reins to when he learns.
Oh, okay, as a free agent. That's what I meant to say. I thought you meant trade for him.
But the other thing is you still have, and while I don't think there are any great quarterback prospects out there, you know, you still have these young quarterbacks coming in kind of ready to play the game. But if you're Kansas City, you probably draft a quarterback, you know, get Alex Smith, you know, and like I said, he'll just be the bridge to the next guy whenever he's ready to take over. In Jacksonville, now this is the thing. I think there's a lot of quarterback talent out there, not great talent, but I think another thing, it just comes down to coaching. I mean, are the Jags, can they coach these guys up? I mean, is Gabbert, is he scared, or is Jacksonville just not coaching guys up? Maybe you move down and accumulate picks if you're Jacksonville, or maybe you get a young pass rusher like Jarvis Jones. I mean, you're in the AFC South. You have Matt Schaub, you have Jake Locker, you have Andrew Luck. So how are you going to win the division? You need to put the quarterback on his behind. So, you know, you might just get Jarvis Jones and just call it a day. Just, you know, you get players. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you don't evaluate the talent correctly, then what good does it do to trade down and get picks to just keep?
You think Jarvis Jones is that game changer? Because, like, I feel like the guy from South Carolina, even though he's not up for the draft, I can't even say his name right now, I think he's a game changer. You know what I mean? So would you just sort of, you know,
I think
be started for another
Jones,
year and bank on him?
I think Jarvis
Jones is
an outside linebacker. He's not Von Miller, but he's made in that mold. He can put his hand on the ground, or he can stand up and he can rush the passer. But he's a great player. The bottom line is, how are you going to win in division? You need to sack the quarterback. And while Jacksonville has been lagging at the quarterback position, their pass rush has been awful the past 3 years. I mean, just absolutely awful.
Right. That's true. I just feel like, I don't know, when I think of like a number one, number two pick in a draft, I'm thinking about a game changer. For some reason, I don't think Jarvis Jones is a game changer. And I'm only saying this based on the fact that the Georgia, even though he can run the passer and stuff like that, I just felt like the rush defense for Georgia was horrible this year. You know, I went over Tennessee. I went over Alabama game with you, Tex. You know that. We won't have to go over that again. But I'm just saying, you know, I just think, you know, I wouldn't pick him as a number two pick in the draft. That's just me. Even though he had pretty good numbers, I just wouldn't pick him at a number two. I don't think he's a changer. I don't think he's a game changer. But anyway, let me get Shotown's number. I mean, not number, but opinion. What's your opinion on this?
I was going to say, too, about Kansas City. I mean, it's a lot of veteran quarterbacks out there. I mean, say Alex Smith. What about Michael Vick, you know, going to Kansas City? I mean, I don't think, you know, Kansas City already went, I mean, they got to, you know, figure out the Matt Castle, what they going to do, because, you know, he got a cap number, so they got to figure out getting that straightened out, too, before they do anything, you know, in the quarterback situation. But Jacksonville, they drafted Blaine Gabbert, you know, first round, you know, 2 years ago now, so it's like, I'd be kind of surprised if they take another quarterback in the first round again, because then that's saying, like, wow, you already gave up on them in 2 years. And like you said, Jacksonville, like Cali Mike and Tex were saying, Jacksonville got other issues than just, you know, at quarterback, you know, like I said, Gabbert's still young. They're a young team. So, I mean, and two, there's been talk about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's going to be in Jacksonville next year.
All right, We're gonna get into that later. let me hear what Wiley has to say here. Let me go 813.
All right. I think you guys are misunderstanding what I was saying about what they need to do. They need to go to free agency and pick a quarterback. Don't waste a first-round draft pick on a quarterback. That's what I'm saying. During the offseason, go to free agency, get a quarterback that's already in the league. You can get, like you said, Mike Vick's probably going to be on the ability to trade. You got Vince Young. He is a great quarterback. He just got to get his control, get his personality in order. I think this year being out of the NFL will humble him. So he's ready to be a quarterback. I think.
Wait, hold on. You give Vince Young a chance on your team?
Absolutely.
Yes, I would give Vince Young a chance on my team. I told you. Vince Young is one of the greatest athletes I've seen in the history of the NFL in my lifetime. Now, he has personal problems that he needs to deal with, but as a quarterback and athlete, he is a great athlete.
I'm bad. Yeah, he's a great athlete, not a great quarterback.
Yeah, but if
he's 30 and 17 as a starter.
Huh?
He's 30 and 17 as a starter, Cali Mike.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
I mean,
haven't you been preaching on Tim Tebow led the Broncos to the playoffs? You know,
no, but it wasn't like.
Okay, let me ask you this question.
Tim Tebow only did it for seven.
Was Vince Young leading that team? Was he really leading that team?
Did he make two Pro Bowls, Kelly Mike? Was he the Offensive Rookie of the Year? I mean, you act like this guy was sorry or something.
He was the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
That's what I'm saying. No, there's a reason that he's not playing football because he had an issue with Jeff Fisher. And
exactly.
Jeff Fisher made him look bad in the media.
Is the only coach in NFL?
No, but what
he
I'm
was the only one he had a problem with. He never had a problem with Andy Reid.
He's a great player.
Okay, so
he's a great
nobody
player.
Else
he
has
issues in the locker room.
He was picked up by the Eagles, and then he went. He played pretty good for a game in the Eagles. He never had an issue with Andy Reid. Then he went to the Buffalo Bills.
He played pretty good in. Because I remember him being sorry as hell.
He played pretty good in the Monday night game against the New York Giants. Look it up right there. You got your computer next to you. I know you do. He passed for over 400 yards. Then he went to the Buffalo Bills, and he was cut before the season started for Travaris Jackson, which was a horrible decision. We talked about that at the beginning of the year. I know Tex disagreed with me
there.
I was saying about that, too.
Travaris Jackson over Vince Young. I'm like, what the heck are they doing out there? He might be
exactly.
Travaris Jackson might be quicker than Vince Young. Vince Young is not a better quarterback. He's not a better quarterback than Vince Young.
Let's look at Vince Young's career numbers here. 51.
No, look at his record. Look at his winning record. Why don't you look at that? Why don't you look at his winning record?
I can look at Tim Tebow's record, and his record is a winning record. So what does that mean?
Vince Young has more of a sample size.
Tim Tebow. You can't compare Vince Young to Tim Tebow. That's
right. Vince Young
is better than Tim Tebow.
Okay, let me
you can't compare those two. It's not fair. Look at the sample size.
Hold on, Clavel. From when he was Offensive Player of the Year and he made the Pro Bowl, he threw 13 interceptions to 12 touchdowns. The next year, he threw 17 interceptions to 9 touchdowns.
Regression each year.
The next year, he threw 2 interceptions to 1 touchdown. Then the year after that, 7 interceptions to 10 touchdowns. And his last season in Philadelphia was 9 interceptions to 4 touchdowns.
Look, we understand that the Titans were all about defense and Chris Johnson and Lindell White and that offensive line.
Obviously, Vince Young was leading that team.
He was leading the team. And the thing
y'all
is,
have
and
completely
thing,
gone off the topic of what I was talking about. I just mentioned
Vince
Young as
one
of the
good. I said, no, he isn't. I just banded that.
I would give him a shot. That's just me.
Me too. But what I'm saying is, my point that I'm trying to make in this segment is that if Kansas City gets that first overall pick, they need to go into free agency. There are some great free agents that's going to be out there this year. Terrell Pryor should be out there because he ain't never going to start behind Carson Palmer where his star is.
Terrell Pryor is starting this week.
Do what?
Terrell Pryor is starting this week. What are you talking about?
But they're doing everything to prevent him from starting. There's reports saying that he doesn't understand the offense yet. You know, he's not getting a fair shot. He's not going to get a fair shot.
Let's go back to this statement you made first. What great quarterbacks are there in free agency? There's a reason these guys are free agents. What great quarterbacks are there in free agency?
Who said anything about great? I said they can be good enough. Kansas City don't
need
a
great
quarterback.
What
good
enough quarterbacks are
in
free agency? Which one? Name one.
Michael Vick is going to be in free agency. Vince Young is going to be in free agency. And I think Terrell Pryor being behind Carson Palmer is somebody you can look at and try to get. These are three examples that I use.
Who said the Raiders are even letting him go, for one?
Let me finish. What I'm saying, these are people you can look at and try to get in free agency without even worrying about using your first overall pick. And then when it comes draft time, you use that first overall pick to start helping fill those holes on that line. Because the problem that Kansas City has is that line is so sorry that no quarterback back there right now is going to do anything.
Kansas City line.
I actually agree with you. I agree with you, Watley. I think that that's the blueprint that Kansas
that
City
bad.
Should
they
do.
I think Kansas City and Jacksonville are two totally different situations. That Kansas City line is not the best line, but it ain't Philadelphia's line.
It still needs help. Serious help.
So what I'm saying is, so what's your opinion? You think Kansas City just needs a quarterback, Callie Mike? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think they're a quarterback away.
I don't agree.
But I mean, is there a quarterback right here that you can say, wow, I can bank my franchise on? Because you know if they draft a quarterback, that's telling the fans of Kansas City, we got to wait another 2 years, you know, maybe, because there's no RG3, there's no Andrew Luck here. You know, we got to wait another 2 years, you know, for to see some sort of maturation. I mean, do you think the fans want to see that?
Like I said, I would give one of those guys a chance before I would get Vince Young. Hell yeah. Are you
really?
Trying
to see that? A dude that's 30-17 as a starting quarterback in this league? 30-17?
Quit saying that. You're trying to brainwash us. Quit saying that.
It's the truth. He's a good
quarterback. It's the truth. He's 30-17. He was an offensive rookie of the year. You trying to tell me this guy can't play?
30-17 to 40 touchdowns.
See, hey, you're one of those stats guys whose stats mean everything to you. I care about winning and losing.
Start winning
I don't
again.
Care
are you
about that.
Oh, no.
All right, man. Hey, you know
I'm
this
not
is a hey. Guy. Hey, Wiley. Hold on, I gotta let me put you on the hold here. Let me get the call here. He's been waiting for a while here.
All right.
407. You want to say something now?
Yeah. What's going on?
What's going on, Steve? What's good?
Oh, man. Kansas City, I mean, this is the wrong draft if you want to draft a quarterback, man. I feel them on a free agency, but they ain't there. You know what I mean? I think this is a trade down, man. City, they just don't. They're one quarterback away.
I think Kansas City has players, okay? I'm the guy that says you need an elite quarterback to win a title anyway. But I think they're one solid quarterback away from being something. They have players on defense. They have some players on. I mean, they got Jamal Charles. They got some guys. They have this talent in Kansas City. You see what I'm saying?
And they got some young talent too.
We can get into that conversation. I mean, yeah, they got players in Kansas City. You had said you need an elite quarterback to win the Super Bowl. I kind of disagree with that a little bit, but
they don't get a lot there.
Hold on 1 second, brother. Let me straighten something out that I said too, because I don't want to get it misinterpreted. Geno Smith and Matt Barkley aren't bad quarterbacks. That's not to say that, like Tech said, if a team like Kansas City were to get an Alex Smith and then draft either one of them and have them sitting, that they couldn't become. I think they can both become quality NFL starting quarterbacks. Like I say, they're just not sure things like a RG3 or Andrew Luck. But I think either one of them has the potential to be an excellent quarterback in the NFL. I want to get that straight. I'm not saying either one of them is not. Like I said, I would. They're both first round quarterbacks. But I would. You know, it's just when you're dealing with a number one pick, you got to look at things differently because you want that to be a sure thing. I'm just saying neither one of them is a sure thing, but they both have the potential to be excellent to good starting NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is, Kansas City, why don't they just try to get? Why don't they try to like Steve said? Why don't they trade down, get some more picks, and then bring in somebody that's somewhat established that you know that
bring
you don't have
moves.
To groom.
That's the thing. Bring people can always
like you said. I wouldn't bring in Alex Smith. Alex Smith would be horrible.
Bring in who?
I wouldn't bring in Alex Smith. You can bring in Vince Young. You can bring in Mark Sanchez.
You would bring in Vince
you can bring
Young
in
over Alex Smith.
Hey, you forgot about. What about Matt Flynn? I think Seattle need to consider that since Russell.
There's not enough. I don't have a big enough sample size for Matt Flynn. I have a sample size for Mark Sanchez. I have a sample size for Vince Young. I have somewhat of a sample size for Alex Smith. Now, to answer your question, Callie Mike, the sample size I have for Alex Smith and the sample size I have for Vince Young, even though I know Alex Smith had an okay year in San Francisco last year, for some reason, my gut feeling, I go with Vince Young. Because, you know, he's more dynamic. He has a better wins-loss record than Alex Smith, you know. So I would go with Vince Young. But there's pretty much some other quarterbacks. Another option, like a lot of people in the Tampa Bay trying to pump up in the media here, you know, trade for Josh Freeman, get that first pick in Tampa.
I think that's not gonna happen.
Tampa is that a valid argument?
I mean, yeah, there's only one on the Tampa, but they're really pumping that up. Believe me, they are pumping that up here in Tampa.
Tampa Bay said they're not even worried about that.
Tampa Bay said they come back if they make that move. They send them back unless it's a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or something. You don't make that happen.
You said Tampa setting themselves back. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're setting themselves back.
Somebody's gonna trade a quarterback to try to get a young quarterback. I mean, they're already a young team too.
What you said? I'm sorry.
One thing, you know what you said, Clavel. One thing that I didn't even pay attention to. I think a quarterback like Mark Sanchez could go to Kansas City and possibly be successful. It's a team that's, like I said, it's a team that's set up to succeed. It's a smaller market team, so he won't have all the distractions and focus that he had in New York. And it's a team that's set up to have, to be a pass-friendly team. You got John Baldwin, Dwayne Bowles. You know, you have weapons there, and you got a nice running game. I think a quarterback like him could do good there.
Okay. Maybe.
He did get to the AFC Championship twice. People forget about that too. I mean, he did get to the championship twice.
I think with Mark Sanchez,
I just think, man, you know, the team kind of went down last year, and then you know this year was just brutal. They just messed them up, you know, by bringing in Tim Tebow. I think to me that kind of messed them up. You know, this was like going into year four. You know, now is either taking it to that level. He's going to be that, you know, quarterback, your franchise quarterback, or if he's not your quarterback. And I think the Jets really, you know, messed it up for him by bringing in Tim Tebow.
Well, also, like I said, you gotta look at these quarterbacks and their involvement in the media and when they start becoming bigger than what they are. I mean, look at how Tony Romo, look how he went from becoming a up-and-coming young quarterback to when he started getting involved with Christine Cavallari or whoever he was going out with, Jessica Simpson. If you notice, once he started getting that kind of attention, he really started going downhill ever since then. You know,
Romo? I don't know about that. Romo's level of play sort of went up after he stopped dating Jessica Simpson.
No, I'm not talking about his numbers or anything. I'm talking about what kind of quarterback he is. Like I say, he was a promising young quarterback at one point. And now he's not. And that started once you start seeing him on the page, him going on vacation with his tight end and then being on the beach when he's supposed to be in rehab. Once you have that kind of focus on a quarterback when you start going into their personal lives, it changes who the quarterback is.
Hmm.
You know, like I said, look at Mark Sanchez. You got it's certain quarterbacks. You got everybody talks about because Mark Sanchez is in New York, but he's, you know, Mark Sanchez, he's a pretty boy. You got him going out with Eva Longoria and all Kate Upton and all these.
He went to UNC. He was a celebrity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got Eli Manning. He's in New York too, and you don't hear him doing all this type of stuff. You know,
yeah,
so it's not, you know, it's certain kind of guys, you know, whose personalities attract that. Mark Sanchez, he's one of them type of guys. So I think if he was in a smaller market, you know, like Kansas City, where it's not so much, you know, for him to get into, and he could actually focus on football, I think he could become a better player.
Yeah, that's true.
The only person that can kind of handle that, he kind of likes the limelight, but he still, you know, does his thing. The only person who's able to handle all that, you know, he's not in much of a big market, but still you get that exposure is Tom Brady. You know, I mean, he's still, you know, you see him with commercials. I mean, he's on the halftime show on, you know, on Monday Night Football, you know, on the radio.
Tom came up a different way. Tom had to, you know, he came up the hard way. Mark Sanchez, he was a star ever since he was in high school. Tom Brady, he had to put in work, you know. And then, he got to start seeing the fruits of his labor pay off. Sanchez, not to say he didn't put in the work either, but he was always, you know, he was a, you know, number one high school player coming out of college, you know, coming out of high school, played at USC, and now he's a starting quarterback of the New York Jets. I mean, you know, it's only been going up for him. He's never tasted down. You know, now he's starting to taste down. And I think if he were to go to a team like, you know, Kansas City, you know, he can only go up from down.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me, hey, Steve, you got something to say?
No, I was just going to say, man, you know, it's hilarious to me. But anyway, this Dwayne Bowe might not even be there. You know, he's in the league. So, I mean, Mark Sanchez, that guy, what did he do at USC? Did he win anything? No. I mean,
what do you have to win? What do you mean, win anything? He went 10-2.
He went to the Rose Bowl. And they went and he won the Rose Bowl.
And he won the Rose Bowl. So, I mean, what does it mean?
He won the big one.
Man, I don't want to. He played a year and didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing to deserve to be the third quarterback. He's just showing right now.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And Pete Carroll even said it right before. I mean, Pete Carroll didn't say he was garbage, but Pete Carroll said he was going against the grain. You know, he should have stayed another year in college. But anyway, that's another conversation.
I agree. There's more behind that than just that.
Pete Carroll knew that he needed Sanchez to come back to have USC be a contender, and he didn't want to have Matt Barkley have to come in and start all over. So don't put that on him. There's more behind that than just what that is. Like I said,
A year after that, later Pete Carroll leaves to go coach in the NFL. So he did what he had to do. But I agree though that I thought he should have stayed another year. But then he came in, he saw what he did. I mean, still remember he got the Jets AFC Championship twice. So I mean.
I've never thought the world of Mark Sanchez. Even when he was coming out of USC, I think the kid is talented. It's like Mike said, there's nowhere to go but up. A volatile situation in New York where they're not nurturing him. I can't think they're coaching him up. I don't believe that it's the best environment for him to be successful. Maybe a change of scenery might be what might get Sanchez to playing like an NFL quarterback. And like Mike said, you go to KC. I mean, you can't. He's at the bottom of the barrel now. So how far can you go? You understand what I'm saying? So if he gets to Kansas City, there's no way but up. I wouldn't mind seeing what he does if he goes there. I mean, like I said, I don't think he's the best, but I also don't think Brian Schottenheimer and Tony Sperano and Rex Ryan, I don't know if that's a conducive environment for a young quarterback to come up in.
He's laughing, but Texas is right. I mean, to extent, I agree with what he's saying because
as soon as
he was there, Schottenheimer was feeling heat. It was pressure about him. Yeah, they don't know if he was the guy that they made the change and gone with Tony Sperano, and Tony Sperano was off the line coach in Dallas.
The thing is, you had people talking about. Whoa, Sanchez this, Sanchez that, but on the slide, different NFL personnel men were like, well, hell, we don't know if it's Sanchez or Schottenheimer. You understand what I'm saying? And they're probably worse now with Tony Sperano. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, hold on. Steve, I'm going to put you on hold here. I got to get Wiley in here. He's been waiting for a while. Wiley.
First and foremost, the person who said you can't win a Super Bowl without an elite quarterback, I got one name for you, Trent Dilfer. I'm going to leave that alone.
Here we go.
So we'll let that go.
I want to get into that conversation after this topic here. I want to get into that.
I could shut him down.
I just want to continue with the fact that I think that the Kansas City Chiefs can go out on the free agency market and get them a good quarterback. You know another good quarterback that's sitting behind Tom Brady right now that if you brought in right now would be like taking a first-round overall number one? Ryan Mallett. He is sitting right now behind Tom Brady. And if he got hired over there in New England, I think he would be a great fit in Kansas City.
How
do you know that?
He already did it already with Matt Castle.
How do you know that? I mean,
I was Kansas City, I wouldn't do that again, you know. I get what you're saying, but he already did that with Matt Castle. And he came from New England as well.
But I think Mallett is a different type of quarterback. I think his size and his arm and the way he plays football is more conducive to that Kansas City offense. If you watch him when he played for Arkansas, I think that he is more conducive to the way that they're running that Kansas City offense than Castle was. They just got Castle because he was a good name and he had played for in the place of Tom Brady, so they knew about him. But I think as far as his specialties, I think Mallett is a much better fit in Kansas City than he would even be if he got to start in New England.
Maybe, because he was pretty good. He was pretty good at Arkansas.
I like Ryan Mallett, but I'm not going to say he can come in. I haven't seen enough of him to say he can come in the NFL. Size and arm strength. I heard Al Davis say that in 2007, and the Raiders ended up with Marcus Russell. So that means nothing.
I agree, but at the same time, you don't know that about somebody gets picked number one overall in the draft.
According to you, you care about winning. What is Ryan Mallett won?
Ryan Mallett is building a future. You're not going to just go from being the worst team in the NFL to the best team in the NFL in a year. That's not going
to
happen.
But
if you're
going to
build a future, you can make somebody that's already in the league that you're going to have to pay less money to get turn out to be your franchise quarterback.
You're not risking the same risk of drafting a quarterback number one. The salary is going to be a difference of maybe $1 million. You're not risking that much anymore. It's not like it was 2 years ago.
You're risking a good amount of money.
Are you going to get a quality free agent quarterback for pennies? Did you see how much?
No, you're not. But what I'm saying is, Wiley has made a good point here. I mean, you can bring in somebody like a Ryan Mallett that's worked under Tom Brady, learned how to be a professional, come in. I'm not saying it's going to work out, but is it worth giving it a shot? Maybe.
You could give anybody a shot, but if you're a team that's trying to win, you got to do stuff to conduce. I mean, I wouldn't mind bringing Ryan Mallett in, yes, but I'm also going to draft me a quarterback too. That's not going to stop me. If I feel my team can draft a quarterback and is a quarterback away, I'm not just going to bring in a Ryan Mallett and go, okay, Ryan Mallett's going to be it.
But you're not just a quarterback away.
Hold on, dude. Let me finish. Look at Seattle. They just didn't bring in Matt Flynn and go, okay, we're going to be done. They drafted Russell Wilson too for a reason, right?
Right.
Matt Flynn didn't work out. And now who's working out? Russell Wilson.
But they built that team. They didn't just bring in a quarterback. They built that offensive line.
What do you think they've been? Who'd they get on the offensive line there?
In the draft, they didn't get big name people, but they built up their offensive line and free agency.
That line. Seattle is actually the picture of what happens when you don't structure your offensive line. That line haven't been the same since they lost Walter Jones 4 or 5 years ago, bro.
And Stephen Hutchinson. Now I say Stephen Hutchinson first. They lost Hutchinson. Their line wasn't the same since then after the Super Bowl.
I say this though.
Let me say this though about the ballot thing. The Patriots, though, I mean, they took them that, you know, took a chance on them. I think they definitely, whoever wants to get Mallett, they definitely want to give up some draft picks. Maybe a second round or third round pick. I know the Patriots are going to want something like that. So you got to think about it. Is he worth getting up a second or third round pick?
Think about this. Kirk Cousins at Washington. Trade for him. He has value. I mean, he has a small little sample size. You can bring him to Kansas City. I mean, I think he could be a pretty good pro football. He's not going to be as good as RG3, but you can bring him over there to Kansas City. Or bring in, the Jacksonville?
I would bring in a guy like that as a free agent. When you start talking about trading draft picks, that's totally
you
different.
You have to trade for Kirk Cousins.
No, I didn't say
value.
Nothing about trading no draft picks.
No, because he came in for one game.
Don't waste your first-round draft pick on a quarterback if you're Kansas City. I would not waste my first overall draft pick on a quarterback.
Who's to say it would be a waste, though?
Hold on, I'll say this though.
I mean, Kirk Cousins, I mean, what he's done as a rookie, he's done okay, but I wouldn't trade up a draft pick for him, not just after 1 year, you know. I mean, I gotta see more, you know, for that.
If you're gonna take a quarterback,
you might as well take one in the draft.
Hold on, let's see. We didn't hear Tex. Tex, you got something to say on this?
I don't. I'm basically done with it. I mean, I'm done.
I guess, but all right, whatever. All right. Well, this is an interesting conversation here. Let me go into the conversation. I think Tex don't even want to talk about. Can you win a Super Bowl without an elite quarterback? Because that's what's on the Tampa Talk Radio this year. Because they've been talking about maybe bringing in Tim Tebow to push Josh Freeman. But that's another conversation in itself about.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, we're gonna get to that in a second. I'll say this for a minute.
Tampa Bay talking about, yeah, can they win without an elite quarterback? How many Super Bowls do they win? With that defense they had, that was pretty good, which I still think their 99 defense was the best defense they had. They didn't win the Super Bowl. If they had an elite quarterback, they would have won. They would have won at least maybe three or four Super Bowls. Brad Johnson was okay, but, I mean, that was toward the end.
Okay, wait,
that was toward the end of their run, though.
Slow down.
Okay.
We don't know that.
And I got Wiley on here. Hold up. Let's say this. Can you win a Super Bowl without an elite quarterback? I think you can, but my thing is you had better have a good supporting cast. The example you gave the Tampa Bay Bucks, they had a very good supporting cast. Trent Dilfer, Baltimore Ravens had a very good supporting cast. You had better have an elite supporting cast if you don't have an elite quarterback. That's the thing.
When was the last time those two teams won that, you know, we've seen the team won a Super Bowl without an elite quarterback? When was the last time that happened?
2002, I think, is what with Tampa. And then 2000 with Ravens.
Hold on.
Exactly. Now, so that's 10 years. I want to hear what Tex had to say. He hasn't said anything yet. Tex.
First off, we're gonna have this conversation in its correct context. We're gonna take out the Ravens. We're gonna take out the.
Why you gotta take them out?
Wait, how did you take them out?
Well, I let
Wiley slip just as one time, but we about to get on it now. But we're gonna do away with the Ravens. We're gonna do away.
I'm sorry. Why? Because they won a Super Bowl.
These are once in a generation defensive units. You understand what I'm saying?
Same thing with the 85 Bears, really.
Okay. Wait. 1990. Who? Okay. Wait a second. Who wins
the Giants?
1990. The Giants. Okay. Hosteller, 91.
The Giants had some luck,
Ripon.
Y'all almost didn't win that Super Bowl. Hold on, Mike. 92 and 93,
Troy Aikman, Hall of Fame quarterback. 94, Steve Young, Hall of Fame quarterback. 95, Troy Aikman, Brett Favre, John Elway twice, Kurt Warner. Did I skip somebody? No, I don't think I skipped nobody. Kurt Warner. Who after that? Ravens defense. New England.
Oh, Ravens defense.
Tampa Bay, and then what? New England twice? Yeah, New England.
So, in other words,
I mean,
for every time that somebody wasn't an elite quarterback, you want to give the credit to the rest of the team.
So, the quarterbacks on the Super Bowl team that were great quarterbacks, but on the teams that weren't great quarterbacks, all of a sudden it was everybody else. All right, let me finish. Then we got Roethlisberger, then we got Eli Manning, then we have Peyton first. And then you're telling me the first time Eli wanted,
he was an elite quarterback?
But wait a second, we go back to Roethlisberger. Okay, but even then, if you want to throw that in, then we're talking about elite quarterbacks winning Super Bowl championships upwards of 85% of the time.
So
we're back into statistics, right?
Okay, but you no. But you take your Wiley, you take your 15% with Hostetler and whatever you think, and you come gamble against me with Aaron Rodgers, somebody like that. But anyways, we had Roethlisberger, then we had Brees, then we had Rodgers, we had Eli, he's struggling right now, but he's not elite. He's a clutch quarterback.
And Aaron Rodgers was an elite quarterback the first time he won a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
But the question is.
He was already elite. Excellent ain't elite. This was his second year when he won his Super Bowl. So was he an elite quarterback when he won the Super Bowl?
That was a third year.
That was a third year starting.
He started in 2008, 2009, 2010.
Was he an elite quarterback when he won the Super Bowl?
Of course
yes,
he was.
Who are you talking about?
No way you can say you called Aaron Rodgers an elite quarterback when they won that first Super Bowl.
That was his third year starting.
When he won the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, best red
quarterback the year he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. He was elite.
Oh, my God.
That was favorite.
Yeah.
Hey Tony, you remember they were favored to go to the Super Bowl the year before that? Remember Tony in 2009? A lot of people had him to go to the Super Bowl in 2009.
Okay, that made him a good quarterback. That didn't make him an elite quarterback.
He was already elite.
Thank you. He was already elite.
My point is, it already
been
proven
though,
anyway because you can win the Super Bowl without an elite quarterback.
Maybe
it's only 15% of the time. But, hey, you know what? My thing is you have to have an elite supporting cast. That's the only thing. You can win it without it, but you have to have an elite supporting cast. That's what it is.
No individual won the Super Bowl yet. When Eli won it
the first time, I kind of gave it to him. He made plays, but he wasn't an elite quarterback, though. But he did make some big plays down that stretch in that Super Bowl. But that defense of the Giants was good, but still, Eli made plays. If Eli didn't make those plays, the Giants wouldn't have won that Super Bowl.
Let's all do one at a time here. Now, let me get Callie Mike.
There's no way anybody in America would have called Eli Manning an elite quarterback the first time he won a Super Bowl. And if you say you would have, you're lying.
Same thing could be said about Ben Roethlisberger.
When he won his first Super Bowl, he was not an elite quarterback.
Everybody got to start somewhere.
He was good in 2005, though. That was the second year. He was good. I mean, he struggled. I mean, it was the second year in the league.
But he wasn't elite.
But Tony, everybody got to start somewhere, man. Until recently, quarterbacks just don't come in the league throwing for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns.
The only way you win a Super Bowl is with an elite quarterback. And we have given you several examples of quarterbacks who have won the Super Bowl that at the time they won the Super Bowl, they were not considered elite quarterbacks.
They've proven themselves to be elite, though, right?
Afterwards, you are looking in hindsight. I'm saying at the time they won their Super Bowl,
they
were not elite quarterbacks.
It's not hindsight because they did it.
The Steelers won that
Super Bowl without Ben Roethlisberger, though, Tony.
Elite quarterback, not at that time.
Let's calm it down here. Let's calm it down here because we got a lot more topics to get into here. All right, I got to stop it here. And this was a good conversation, but we got a lot more to get into right now.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't an elite quarterback.
All right, so I'm gonna keep you on the line here, but we're gonna have to change the content of the conversation. If you want to call in 347-237-9-5539. Now we want to get into offensive and defensive rookie of the years. What's your opinion on that? Who are your two picks for offensive and defensive rookie of the year? Let me start with you, Tex.
Offensive rookie of the year, I'm going with Andrew Luck. Defensive rookie of the year, I'm going with Luke Kuechly.
Okay. Cali Mike, who you got?
I would have to. I would have to say I'm going to go with Andrew Luck too, over RG3, just because, you know, flat out, Andrew Luck has less than what RG3 has in Washington. You know, it really took me to have it broken down a couple of different times. But without Andrew Luck, the Colts is really another last place team. So they're really RG3, even though we didn't count on Alfred Morris being, you know, a top rusher, he is. You know, Andrew Luck doesn't have that. He has Reggie Wayne, who at this point in his career really isn't, could be considered a true one. But he's, you know, he's kind of reemerged now that Andrew Luck is, you know, beginning to do what he's doing again. So I would have to have him definitely for offensive player of the year. Defensive player, I don't know. Kuechly has put up a good season.
Very strong rookie class, man.
I'm kind of torn. I'd have to come back to you. I have to think about it a little bit more. But like I say, definitely for offensive, I take Andrew Luck though.
Okay, Shatown, who you got?
You talking about for like rookie of the years and everything like that for right now?
Yeah.
I mean, for rookie of the year, I mean, I think Andrew Luck, man. I mean, I'll say RG3 if he had to be co-rookie of the year, but if you had to give it to one person, I would go with Andrew Luck. I mean, this team won two games last year and number one pick in the draft, and they're in the playoffs. I mean, that just don't happen. It's pretty much the same roster, and they said the man is pretty much ahead of everybody. He's unlimited with the playbook, but, you know, they have to calm it down because everybody else is not on the same page. It's not on him, so that's a show you, man. This man, I mean, he's got a great one in this guy. So I would say him is rookie. If you got to have offensive rookie of the year, then, of course, it would be, you know, RG3 or maybe also to Andrew Luck as, you know, rookie and offensive rookie of the year. And then on the defense side of the ball, I mean, that's some guys. I mean, I'm still kind of thinking about it. I still have to wait on for some of the rookies, but I mean, that's pretty much right there.
All right. Well, I got co offensive rookie of the year, three co offensive rookie of the year. I got Luck, Griffin, and Russell Wilson. I think they should split the award three ways. Defensive rookie of the year, I got Janoris Jenkins from St. Louis. What you got to say, Watley?
I'm split on offensive rookie of the year, but I would go personally with I got to go with RG3 because he has just been the most spectacular of all of them. So offense, I'd go with RG3, and I think I'm going to stay local with my pick for defensive rookie of the year. The dude, I think his name is Levante David or something like that. He's an offensive lineman.
You talking about for the Bucks, Levante David?
Yes.
You think he should be rookie of the year?
Yes.
He
got 117 combined tackles, one sack. He's got interception. He's got all kinds of things he's done on his defense. But 117, I can't remember. I heard it on the news. But 117 combined tackles is the highest amount of tackles for an offensive lineman rookie in the NFL.
Offensive lineman, 117 tackles. That dude's amazing.
No, he plays linebacker. He plays linebacker.
Kuechly
has 151 tackles.
Who?
Kuechly. Luke Kuechly, middle linebacker for the Panthers.
He's got I think they said something. His stats might have changed. Last I saw, they were saying he had 130 combined.
Nah, he has 152. He has a sack, two picks, three fumble recoveries, six
stats.
Passes.
I don't keep up with stats, but I have been impressed by the Levante David.
Hold on, you just said, you just said Levante.
I said I heard it on the news. I didn't say I knew it personally. I heard on the news that he had over 117 combined tackles.
I know, and he's actually had more than that. I mean, I keep up with both of them. Keekly's been better than him, and his defense is much better.
Well, I don't know the – for me, I'm not one of those people that keeps up with stats, and I don't know rookies from non-rookies. I just know Levante was one because I'm local in Tampa that I heard about a lot, and I heard he was a really good offensive lineman and one of the best rookies.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. Levante Davis is a pretty good player. Actually, Matt came on the show and said he was his rookie of the year. So –
who said that?
Interesting. Matt from the Matt of the Coast of the host of the Cold Hard.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. He had a good season. Keekly, like I said, I probably take Keekly. I don't know if that's the exact right size of name. I probably take Keekly up around. Also, keep an eye on Bruce Irving. You know, he had 7 sacks this year. I think next year he's going to get even better, man. He's a physical beast, and he's playing in a really aggressive defense. And I think that Pete Dale is going to start at least him, you know, more and more as time goes on.
He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, he surprised a lot of people by getting picked this high. Everybody thought Pete Carroll was crazy, but he's already started to pay off, and I can only see him getting better.
Chandler Jones was solid, too.
Now, I'm going to keep you on here. Now, the Pro Bowl roster came out today. I don't know if anybody here saw them. Are you happy with what you saw on the Pro Bowl roster? Who was a snub and who was maybe overrated and shouldn't have been on there in the first place? I kind of want to hear what Tex has to say on this. Tex, what you have to say?
Well, I don't have, you know, I mean, I thought there were plenty of snubs, but all in all, I don't have a huge problem with it. I don't understand how RG3 gets in over Drew Brees, though. I don't know how your boy – yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't know how your boy Julio Jones gets in over Dez Bryant. I mean, I'm not looking at names. If I vote – and this is just how I vote. I vote for – I mean, I look at –
Are you kidding me? Is Julio Jones going to deserve to be on there?
All
right, whatever, man.
All year. How did he even get it over Roddy White? I don't understand
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
He's better than Roddy White.
You know
that's
what?
Why.
You know what?
Better? No, he's not. No, we
yes, he is.
That, remember?
He didn't. No, you didn't do that. No, you didn't.
I'm saying that. But
he's better than Roddy White. He is.
I'm looking at their stats right now. Who is it?
Since week 6, Brian's
been a
must. No,
Wiley, you got
what's
something
up?
To say on this? Have you seen the Pro Bowl roster yet?
I haven't seen any of the actual rosters, but I heard some of the names, and for you to say that Julio Jones does not deserve it over Dez Bryant did not do well at the beginning of this year.
He did not. He sure did not. He sure
did not do well at the beginning of this year. Julio Jones has been doing good every single game for 14 straight games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's been playing. He's been having clutch catches, too. I mean, I'm just saying. He's been having clutch catches.
He deserves to be in the Pro Bowl.
He does. Since week six, Bryant has been on a tear. He had 2 bad weeks since week 6. Otherwise, go look it up. Otherwise, Bryant has been performing. Are you serious? I mean,
I want to say this.
I'm looking at Julio Jones out here. The second game, he had 14 yards again.
Oh God, here we go with the stats.
Yeah, that's what you just said, right? You were talking about stats. This is a Pro Bowl. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you watched them on TV. Julio Jones has done more for the Atlanta Falcons than Dez Bryant has for Cowboys. The Cowboys might not even make the playoffs.
Wow.
The Julio Jones might not even make the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Tony, you win. Okay.
And Julio Jones, me too.
I mean, he's going to throw that with Johnny and Tony Gonzalez.
30 yards against Carolina. I mean, come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, 15.0 yards per
against
catch.
Arizona.
Yes, 15 yards per catch.
Who cares?
I'm like, come
he
on, man.
Less yards.
Who cares?
Less,
oh, my God.
He less yards. He has less yards, less catches, and less touchdowns than Dez Bryant. There.
Yards per catch. What about yards per catch?
It doesn't matter. I don't know.
No, it doesn't matter. Oh, my God.
How many major statistical categories for wide receivers does Dez Bryant lead Julio Jones?
He has more catches. I mean, Dez is the number one. He's pretty much like, okay, yeah, Jason Witten.
He's their only receiver.
Yeah, receiver. He's only the only wide receiver. You got, what's
wait,
it called?
I don't know. We,
you got Roddy White, and then Julio Jimenez is the number one receiver on the team.
You were about to say it. Dez Bryant is a what? You changed it up real quick. Dez Bryant is a what? And Julio Jones is a what? What were you about to say?
I was about to say what? I don't know.
I think you're about to say Dez Bryant is a one and Julio Jones isn't.
Oh, my goodness. He's not a one yet because, I mean, he's not even better than Roddy White. Roddy White's a one receiver.
I think Roddy White's a better receiver than Julio Jones.
Tony Gonzalez.
I believe he is, yes. He makes a big catch. Julio Jones makes a big catch. He's the game breaker. Julio Jones is the game breaker of the
team.
Roddy White is sort of the inside the slot. Well, he's not an inside slot receiver, but he catches those middle. He's like a Victor Cruz. Julio Jones is a big play receiver. Are you come on, man? You know that.
I didn't ask that. He's the number one wide receiver of that team.
Yes.
Wow.
Who's in the Pro Bowl and who's not? Who's in the Pro Bowl and who's not? Who's in the Pro Bowl? Who's in the Pro Bowl? Is Julio Jones or Roddy White in the Pro Bowl? Who's in the Pro Bowl?
Let me ask you a question.
Why don't you answer that question? That should tell you who's the number one team on the
team. He's the leading passer in the NFL. It almost has 40 touchdowns. He's not going to the Pro Bowl. So what does that mean?
We're talking about wide receivers here.
I see that. I didn't know that. Let Wadley talk.
Do you got something to say on this?
Oh, no, I'm loving listening because I think y'all crazy.
Drew Brees is about to have 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, and he's not going to the Pro Bowl. So what does that mean about the Pro Bowl?
In the Pro Bowl.
No,
Julio Jones deserves it.
I'm not saying Dez Bryant is not a good receiver either.
Hey, just don't put him in over Dez Bryant, who has 88 catches, 1,300 yards, and 12 touchdowns, more than Julio Jones, okay? Just, you know, let's not put him in over him.
If I look at Atlanta, they are 12-2, and if 13-2, and if I look at Dallas, they barely trying to make the playoffs. So that's what matters to me.
This is individual performance. Dez Bryant has been one of the most.
As much as he's missed his team, his team ain't even gonna make the playoffs.
Check it out. Dez Bryant over time has been a more consistent player than Julio Jones has. At the same position since week 6, Dez Bryant has been one of the most consistent players in the NFL, regardless of position.
And guess what? Dez Bryant is going to watch Julio Jones at the Pro Bowl and in the Super Bowl.
I don't think the fans voted for Julio Jones like that. I think this was the peers and the coaches that voted for Julio Jones. I don't know about that. Julio Jones ain't no household name.
They put him on with Gordy Nelson. Gordy Nelson, like T.O. said, Dez Bryant need to go on and get his popcorn ready from his couch. Because
that's
where he's going to be watching Julio Jones in the Pro Bowl and in the playoffs.
That's what he's talking about. That sounds.
Julio Jones is. All right, hey, listen. We got 36 minutes left, and we got plenty of topics here left. I know this is a really good. But I'm just saying. The last thing I just want to say here. Someone said that the fans voted Julio Jones. Julio Jones is a household name. Are you kidding me? I don't think the fans voted for Julio Jones. I think the coaches and the players voted because they know what's up. He's Megatron Jr. He's Megatron Jr.
No.
Y'all know that. He's Megatron Jr. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. So don't even go there.
Here we go.
I think Julio is gonna be a nice one, but man, when you say compared to Megatron,
I said Junior. Junior. I didn't say he's better. I said Mini Megatron. Junior.
Wow.
I didn't say he's gonna be better than
Megatron.
Junior. He's Junior. I said Junior. Yep. He is.
Okay,
or T.O.
Junior.
He's T.O.
Okay, hold on.
Or T.O. Junior. You can say T.O. Junior.
Is Julio Jones better than A.J. Green?
Not right now, no. He's not better than AJ Green right now, no.
He won't be. He won't be ever.
Okay, I think he will be at some point in the future. I think not right now. He won't. He's not better than AJ Green right now, no. Well, no, the thing is, this is the thing. AJ Green has better hands. He may be a slightly better route runner, but you talking about breakaway speed,
in other words, he's a better
jumping ability, going up and getting the ball, that type of thing. That Megatron Jr. thing I was saying, you got Julio Jones there. That's the difference between those two. AJ Green's more of a surefire. He has very good hands. He's a very good route runner. He has
so
a little speed, but he doesn't have as much speed as Julio Jones. All right, hold up. Hey, Wiley, I'm going to have to put you on hold here because we got another caller coming in here. And it's James. Yeah, I know he's got to say something here.
Hold on, I'm looking at this. Vincent Jackson has
the
Julio Jones too, and he didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Nah, yeah. I knew that. That's a snub. Vincent Jackson, he should have been. I think he's an honorable mention or something like that, a reserve.
Vincent Jackson,
I think he's a reserve.
But
he's a good receiver.
Neither one of them should be in over Dez Bryant. But okay.
I don't know about that. But anyway, okay. James, what you got to say?
Man, Julio Jones ain't the number one receiver on his own team, bro.
I knew he was going to say that.
How did he improve with the team, too? That's crazy.
Like, dude, Roddy White got the yards, and Tony Gonzalez got the catches. He's the one that's catching passes over the middle. Only thing with Julio Jones is he has more touchdowns than all of them. That's pretty much it. But as far as, like, more valuable players to his team, I would say Dez Bryant over Julio Jones.
Thanks.
Exactly. And, Julio Jones might be the first option.
You got
Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, and Julio Jones. You know what I'm saying? You got Tony Gonzalez made the Pro Bowl, too. Hall of Fame tight end.
Hey, this dude said
biggest Julio Jones got the wrong way to go, my friend, to say he's the number one. He got Roddy White.
Oh, it's okay. In terms of just the size, you're trying to say there's a stretch to say that's Megatron Jr. The size and the speed.
I'm not gonna say Harrison or Megatron.
Is that a stretch to say Megatron Jr.? Or even T.O. Jr. Even Owens Jr. You can even say T.O. Jr. You talking about like size and speed? Is that a stretch to say he's Megatron Jr.? Nobody said he's better than Megatron, but I'm just saying, he's of that ilk. He's like when you think of the size and the speed. I'm asking you a question, James. That's what I'm saying. You're saying that's like nobody's saying he's better than Megatron. Like just like I said with Amari Cooper, he's not better than Marquise Lee. I'm just saying he's of that ilk. He's a mini version of him. I don't see nothing wrong with saying that.
But the thing
you got Calvin Johnson at 6'5" and a 4'3". There's only one of him. You got
right.
At that size, because he's about a good 240 maybe. You got cats like Randy Moss. Like I said, AJ Green is more towards that those kind of cats than Julio Jones.
AJ Green don't run a 4.3. He doesn't run
AJ
no 4.3.
AJ Green is faster than Julio Jones, Clavel.
No, he's not. AJ Green is not faster than Julio Jones. Are you kidding me?
Whatever.
All right, whatever. I don't even want to get into this right now. I'm sorry. I'm not even getting into this right here. All right. But anyway, James, you got anything else to say? I'm sorry.
Hey, man, I was just going to say, it's not just about, the size and the speed. It's also about the reliability. I mean, at least with Calvin Johnson, you know what you're going to get as far as, like, if you throw it over the top. He's going to go out there, go after the pass and catch it. you haven't really gotten that quite with Julio Jones yet.
You haven't gotten that yet. You haven't gotten that yet. It took Calvin.
Look at the first
about three, 4 years to get ready.
AJ Green. You said AJ Green. I said, look at the first two statements you said about AJ Green. You said AJ Green has better hands and runs better routes. What more are we talking about?
But I'm talking about in terms of the size, the speed, and Julio has pretty good hands too. Hold on, I want to respond to what James had to say. Hold on, let me respond to what James had to say. Like you said, Calvin Johnson is more of a consistent, sure receiver. That's true. But it took Calvin Johnson a few years to become, you know, to truly live up to his expectations. You have to agree with that. And you got to give Julio his time too. I mean, this is Julio's second year in the league, and he's already made the Pro Bowl. I mean, he's already showing fruition.
Calvin Johnson was Megatron as soon as he came in the league.
No, he was not. A lot of people were saying he was a bust until a few years ago. I don't know what you're talking about.
Calvin Johnson took a while. I ain't never heard of that. I know he was on a bad team, but not no bust.
I did. I heard that. People were saying he was a bust until
Matthew
Stafford had a full season of starting.
What I'm saying is.
He had 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns his second season. So who said he was a bust?
A lot of people were saying that, man.
Lane Kiffin wanted him to be the pick, but Al Davis wanted Jamarcus Russell.
I'm not talking about this. This is another conversation, Chattown. What I'm saying is, you got to give, just like Calvin Johnson had his years to mature, and I think Julio is progressing at a faster rate than what Calvin Johnson was doing. He's already made a Pro Bowl his second year.
Calvin Johnson's been in the Pro Bowl his second year. That's fair.
I'll give you that. That's fair. Julio Jones was on a better team than Calvin Johnson was.
Atlanta already made the playoffs without Julio Jones already. Detroit wasn't a playoff team before Julio Jones. Before Calvin Johnson got there.
But what I'm saying is, you got to give Julio time to develop, just like they gave Calvin Johnson to develop. What I'm saying
now
is another two, 3 years.
I'll
say this right here. In another two, maybe next year or the year after that, you're going to say Julio Jones is at least in the top two receivers in the league. I will say that. I think he will eventually surpass AJ Green. That's my prediction. And we're going
to
talk about that.
Team,
he won't be the best receiver. I think he already is the best receiver on his team. But that's just another conversation in itself. Hold on. Wiley, you got something to say on this?
I'm done with this one. All I can say is he's there. Bottom line.
Yo, I'm just saying he's there. Is he the number one receiver in the league? No, he's not. You know what I'm saying? But he has the potential to be there. All right, man, I'm done talking about it. That's the bottom line. And I don't even think the fans voted him in the Pro Bowl, because obviously listening to you, Cali Mike, Tex, and Shytown, y'all probably wouldn't have voted him in the Pro Bowl. Okay, so this was the players, and the coaches that voted him in the Pro Bowl. What'd you say?
I said Victor Cruz is going to the Pro Bowl, too. He don't deserve to be there.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure the fans voted for Victor Cruz. Now, that's right there. The fans probably voted for Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz is sort of a household name.
So, hold on. Who's more of a household name, Victor Cruz or Julio Jones? I would think Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz.
So, all right, anyway, let's just move on. We got plenty more here to talk about. We only got 30 minutes left.
I'll say this, though. If Victor Cruz is in, why Eli Manning's not in? And Eli Manning kind of struggled, so I kind of thought he didn't make it, so Cruz panicked this year.
Hey.
He was up and down this year. He was up and down, though. At one time, we were saying he was an MVP type player, though, the way he was playing in the beginning. Like the first 7-8 games, he was playing on that MVP level, but then, like you said, up and down.
All right, let's move on here. Okay. Now, this is the last week of the season. There's going to be a lot of coaches that are going to be fired. Who do you think should keep their job? Do you think, like, for example, Andy Reid? There's a lot of speculation. He's probably going to be fired. I mean, what coaches do you think should get another chance? Do you think Romeo Cannell should get another chance? Andy Reid, should he get another chance? Coach at Cleveland, coach in Miami, coach in Carolina, coach in Jacksonville. Who do you think should be gone? Who do you think should stay? Let me start with Tex. Tex, let me get your opinion on this, because you're really quiet. You kind of go. What you got to say?
No, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm just y'all kind of crazy tonight. I think it's probably time for Reed to go ahead and move on. I could see him going to San Diego with Phillip Rivers and getting Phillip Rivers back on track. As far as Lovie Smith is concerned, the Bears have to make the playoffs, and they probably have to win a playoff game. I don't think Lovie Smith should be fired as much as I think maybe Lovie needs to probably just himself might need to go in a different direction, and the Bears themselves might need to go into a different direction. I know Emery, he says he likes Lovie, but, you know, these general managers, the bottom line is Lovie isn't Emery's guy. You know, these GMs want their guy. So, I'd say I think those are the two main coaching changes that can occur. I think Jacksonville might consider it. I guess Schwartz, he's under contract. I guess he has a year. That's a guy who I think it's time for him to move around. The Lions, you know, they show promise his first 2 years, and they go to the playoffs. And major regression this year, undisciplined football team, bad situational football team. It might be time for Schwartz to go ahead and move around.
Right. Shottown, what you got to say?
Well, I kind of disagree the text to extent talking about Schwartz. I mean, it just gave the man a new extension. Detroit's been, you know, of course, brutal before he got there. I give him another year. You know, if they don't show nothing, you know, in 2013, then, yeah, I'll go 100% with Texas saying about Schwartz. So I think he'd be back another year. I'd be surprised if Detroit decides to fire him. I mean, we all know Andy Reid is gone. I mean, the man been there for over, you know, a decade, man, since 1999, you know. 2 years ago, they parted ways with Donovan McNabb. He was a guy, you know, Donovan McNabb's only coach in Philly, and they parted ways with him. So it's 2 years later, and it's kind of the same thing. I mean, we all say in the business, it's all about winning, you know, winning the Super Bowl. And he hadn't won no Super Bowl. And been in the Super Bowl since 2004. So how many years ago was that? So it's like, you know, I think he's been there long enough, and then, you know, it's just, you know, I think he ran out of his time there in the tune of the team and needed, you know, a new leader and new voice and new direction with that franchise. And I guess it's too bad that Michael Vick will have to move on as well, but, you know, it's how it goes sometimes. And I was going to say this, though. I had, you know, was surprised to hear this, and I was going to let you all know about it, but in Steeler Nation, it's not much for the management, but fans, a lot of the fans out there want Mike Tomlin out. And I'm surprised of hearing that. I heard this last week on Pro Football Talk. They were saying that they're just tired of him. They ready, you know, they want a change.
I'm not surprised about a lot of fans. Pittsburgh didn't come in there in the first place.
You know, like Ant was saying, you know, our good friend Ant was saying that everybody was complaining about Bruce Arians, you know, off of the coordinator. But, you know, I thought he did a pretty good job. And you see now that Big Ben, doesn't him and Todd Haley is not on the same page. And it's been talked that Todd Haley probably might be up for a coaching gig and stuff, or he may not be back in Pittsburgh. So that's a possibility right there. So I'm surprised on that. But if Pittsburgh wants to make that change, hey, if, you know, back to my Bears with Lovie Smith, if the Steelers decided, you know, part ways with Tomlin, then, hey, I would want Mike Tomlin to be the head coach of my Bears. But, I kind of agree with Tex. I mean, I think Lovie Smith, I don't really think he's much of the problem. It's more on the offense side, but he's been here so long. You know, the Bears, I mean, we're ready. The town's all about the Bears. I mean, we love and breed and die the Bears. We're just tired of the same mess. You know, and we had about, since his tenure, about going on now, about to be five offensive coordinators, and you've been here 9 years. And that's the only thing right there. But I think we got to make the playoffs, you know, for maybe to secure the job. But then I know him and Phil Henry have gotten along, and Henry, you know, had no problem with Lovie, but I agree with Tex on that, though. But all GMs wants to bring that guy in, and, you know, Lovie wasn't his guy. So I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on it, but we all will have a decision. You know, we all know by next week. But I heard this on a radio show out here that one of the sports radio guys by the name of Sylvie, of the Waddle and Sylvie show, he was around the Bears organization over the weekend. He heard from a higher source saying that regardless if the Bears make the playoffs or not, a decision's already been made by the by who's going to be the coach next year of the coaches. So it's already been made regardless if the Bears make the playoffs or not, and it's still possible to be some wholesale changes. And it came from a higher-up source, and the guy who's making that decision is George McCaskey. And George McCaskey is different from all the other guys he had, and, you know, he wants to win. So that's what he was saying. So it still could be a possibility, even if we make the playoffs, that he could still lose his job.
Hmm. All right, well, let me, Callie, Mike, what you got to say on that? Who do you think should stay? Who do you think should go?
You know, like I said in the first part, a lot of these guys aren't bad coaches. It's just sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to go, and sometimes you got to move on. If it's just, if it's not clicking, you know, between you and your team, and things aren't going right, then, you know, a change just has to be made. Like, you know, I don't think Andy Reid is a bad coach, but, you know, the wheels have just fallen off in Philadelphia for the last time. And it's like, you know, and I think it's time to move on. I think he can go to another team and be successful, but it still doesn't seem like it's going to happen in Philadelphia. I mean, he's had a lot of chances, and he's gotten all the way to the – but, you know, you gotta be able to push yourself, you know, to the you know, get to the other side of that road. Really, I kind of – I can't even think of his name right now. What's your coach up there at New York, Clark?
Who's my coach up where?
At New York.
Here, you talking about
Tom Coughlin?
Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin. I don't know why I was thinking of Jim Coughlin. But, yeah, Tom Coughlin, I mean, yes, he has the Super Bowls, but how many times can y'all go on this roller coaster trip, man? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I think he'll come back next year. But I think if they have another year like this year, next year, because I don't think they're going to make it this year. I think if they have another year like this next year, I think he could be gone too, just because of the roller coaster ride. I mean, you guys are defending champions and you're a two-time champion, but I don't think the Giants have ever been an elite team, really. That's being real. I mean, can we ever say the Giants in the same era as like the Patriots? You know,
no.
Or even the Steelers when they were coming off their Super Bowl. I mean, was it ever, you know, a foregone conclusion that the Giants were going to beat any team? You know, isn't it always up in the air? You never know what they're going to do next. You know, I don't think you can have, you know, that kind. You know, luckily they have the kind of players, you know, that they can are conducive to that kind of atmosphere. Or else that team could be falling apart just like the Jets, in my opinion. You know, so I don't know how much longer. You know, and like I said, it seems like he's always a high seed anyway. I don't know how much longer they can keep going like that too.
I was gonna
say though, when the Giants won it the first time, I think that Plexico Burris situation kind of messed us up, because the way they was going, they was caught and, you know, on the gun, on the fire, but then they went downhill after that.
Well, I think, yeah, it was that, but it was, like I said, it was more of that too. I mean, look what they're doing this year. I mean, like
right.
I say, they're the only Super Bowl winning team who could play the worst team in the league, and you don't know if they're gonna win or not. Would any of us go to Las Vegas and put money on the Giants? I mean, maybe in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, yes. But during the regular season, to hit to the playoffs, would any of us go, you know, and bet money on the Giants to win? It's like,
yeah, you're right. Well, let's go to Wiley. We're going to keep him on for the rest of the show because Tex had to leave. Wiley,
I got one coach that I think should have been gone for 5 years. Norv Turner. He sucks. I don't know why San Diego keeps Norv Turner. I don't know what's going on in San Diego. I don't know what's going on with that coach. I mean, we all know about Andy Reid. He's going to probably be gone. But the coach that needs to be gone is Norv Turner. San Diego has a great football team, and they can't put it together year for year for year. And I think it's all about coaching. When they got rid of Tomlinson, all of the things that they've been doing in San Diego for years has been crazy, and it's because of the coaching. Norv Turner needs to go.
I say more
yeah.
to personnel, though. Management, too, you know, played a part in it. But, I mean, San Diego, I think, over the past couple of years has been falling off anyway. But, you know, I agree. I mean, we all know Turner's out, so I think, you know, his time is ran up. Let me run out.
Well, let's see. Okay. Yeah, I'm with the North Turner. I think Andy Reid is not going to get another shot. Jacksonville, obviously, that guy got to go.
He might get another chance unless a hot name coach that may be able to lure to come there, but they can't get a hot name coach then, a big time coach then. I might as well keep him for another year. He's been there only 1 year, and they have a young team. The Cleveland Browns situation. I forgot to answer your question. Yeah, we all know Shermer guy is going to be out because it's new ownership and, of course, new management. So, of course, they're going to bring in their own coach. You never know. It might could be a guy like Andy Reid or maybe John Gruden, somebody like that, if they willing to, you know, shell out money. But, yeah, Shermer's out of there.
Well, I don't know. We only got 15 minutes left, and I kind of want to talk about this. This might be entertaining to y'all, but we're going to talk about our favorite player in the league right now, Tim Tebow.
We already said it earlier. Okay, I guess we're going to relate to what I was saying earlier about Tim Tebow.
All right, so first of all, I want to know what's your opinion on, there's reports that says that he was offered to play in the game coming up this weekend. It's sort of the wildcat. It was going to be like a wildcat play or something like that, and he refused to do it because he was still upset about Greg McElroy being able to start over him. And there was a lot of uproar in the media about that. You know, he was supposed to be, you know, have an opportunity to start, and then all of a sudden he's going to complain. And, you know, it's not Tebow-like of him to do that. But I guess my question is, did you think Tebow handled that situation properly? Do you think he made a mistake even going to New York in the first place? He should have went to Jacksonville. Or do you think, just tell me what your opinion on just Tebow in general. Let me start with you, Callie Mike.
Well, I actually don't think that happened. I'm going to say that. I don't believe it. Tebow refused to go in or any of that. I think that was made up. I mean, what refused to go in? When have we heard a player refuse to go in and still play in the team the next day? What is that? You refuse to play? That means that's like you're refusing to go to work. You get fired. So I think that was immediate. I think if that would happen, we would have to see some type of suspension or something. Tebow. You can't refuse to play. Get paid to play. They would not still give him a check for going in. That's not going to happen. Second of all, that was a mistake anyway because Greg McElroy got in the fourth quarterback in NFL. Chris Clausell.
You'll break it up, man. I know you said something about Greg McElroy.
I said Greg McElroy looks like the worst quarterback in NFL, by the way.
What are you talking about? You don't deserve to be in the NFL? He deserves to be in the NFL.
I said he got in there and he looked like the worst quarterback in the NFL. You said that he was going to be a big improvement and the savior of the team or whatever else you were saying.
I never said that. See, there you go, man. You're being like the media manipulated stories because I never said that. He's Chad Pennington Jr. Chad Pennington Jr.
Okay.
How were you saying that? Right.
Okay. Now back on to Tim Tebow. I don't think Tim Tebow really had that many options other than go to New York. I mean, everybody was saying, yeah, go to Jacksonville, but what was he going to do in Jacksonville? Were they going to start him over Blaine Gabbert? I mean, you know.
Yes, they would have. I think they would have.
Nah, you don't have a rookie quarterback come in to start 1 year and then bring in somebody else to start right over him like that. I don't think you can do that. So I think that's the kind of move that will ruin a guy's career. I don't think you can do that.
And you took the man first round like that too, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think you feel that kind of move. This whole Tim Tebow thing to me, like I said, has really been a stunt, you know. But like I said, I have enough respect for Tim Tebow to say that I don't believe that he refused to go and play. I don't think that's something he would do. And also, I think it was a big mistake by them to start Greg McElroy. He's not a starter in NFL.
Nobody said he was a starter. He was second on the depth chart. He played better at practice than Tim Tebow did. So he deserved to be in the starting position. But anyway, let me get what Wiley. Let me hear what Wiley has to say first before I get Shytown here. Wiley, what you got to say?
Well, Tim Tebow. I can't get over your little joke about Pennington, but anyway. Tim Tebow is just not a starting quarterback caliber for an NFL team on any period.
Yeah,
he shouldn't have went first round. He shouldn't even have been in the draft. There were so many people saying Tim Tebow wasn't even going to make the draft. They were talking about how he should have went and played baseball. I'm telling you, Tim Tebow is just not a starting quarterback NFL caliber type of guy. He's got all the passion. He's got all the athleticism. He's got all of that. But he doesn't have that starting quarterback mentality and that it that you got to have in the NFL to be a starting quarterback. And that's just the bottom line. I don't care where you put him. Jacksonville, Kansas City, you name it, he can't do it.
Hold on. You cannot equate Tim Tebow and he said Vince Young Jr. Are you kidding me? Vince Young has a little accuracy. I don't even want to go there. That's ridiculous. I don't even want to go there. You can't even compare Tim Tebow to Vince Young. That is ridiculous.
You can compare
Tim Tebow to maybe a Tommy Frazier or somebody like that, but you cannot compare him to Vince Young. That is ridiculous. But anyway, my thing is this. A lot of people, like I was talking about earlier, and I know Shytown and all y'all were laughing at this, in regards to Tampa, they want to put pressure on Josh Freeman, or maybe they want to put pressure on a particular quarterback to perform better. Do you think maybe bringing in Tim Tebow as sort of a way to bring pressure on the starting quarterback to perform better? Because you know you have Tebow mania. There's Tebow mania out here now. The media's going to pump him up there, even though I think Fox News is paying ESPN to pump him up, but that's another conversation in the story in itself. But what I'm saying is, would it be a good idea for some teams to maybe bring in Tebow to sort of put pressure on their starting quarterback? Well, what's your opinion on that?
Who in the world is scared of Tim Tebow?
you don't think he had an effect on Sanchez? You don't think Sanchez would Tim Tebow be in there?
I really don't.
Okay.
I think bringing in Tim Tebow will put pressure on the coach because he knows he's going to get fired.
Or they need to sell tickets like Jacksonville, you know, they got to deal to sell tickets. And, of course, they love Tim Tebow out there. That's the only reason why I could say why them doing that. But then I get what Mike is saying. You bring him in, let's say he starts, you're gonna ruin Blaine Gabbert's career in Jacksonville pretty much.
If Jacksonville fans are crazy enough to go to a professional football game to watch Tim Tebow, then they can have him for free.
I know.
And they'll get what they deserve.
But what starting quarterback in the NFL today, I don't care how sorry your team is, what starting quarterback would see Tim Tebow walk through the door and go, oh, my God, I better play better?
I think a few. I think in Cleveland, you got such – no, maybe not Cleveland. No, Brandon Weeden, I think, is pretty secure. But you talk about Kansas City.
I like that pick.
You talking about Jacksonville.
Cole McCoy.
You talking about Kansas City.
You talking about
Jacksonville, Tampa. You talking about let me think of some other –
You think Josh Freeman would look at Tim Tebow and go, oh, my God, I'm about to lose my job?
No, it's not about that. He's about to lose his job. It's more so not necessarily that he feels like he's not as good as Tim Tebow. It's more the fact that when he starts playing bad, you know ESPN's going to pump up Tebow, and then the fan base is going to turn against Josh Freeman like they're doing right now. They're going to be like, bring in Tebow, and it's going to mess up
his face. Right here. The best thing that Tim Tebow can do is get his fire. He did it in Denver, the body did it in New York, and he's going to do it on team whoever comes him next. This, once again, just like another quarterback I know, named Vince Young.
I don't want to get into a very controversial political issue, but I think it has something to do with race in Tampa.
because Tampa has been a horrible team for 40 years. I mean, yeah, they won one Super Bowl, but they've been a horrible team with horrible players and horrible coaches and horrible quarterbacks for years. They brought in a black coach and a black quarterback, and all of a sudden Tampa stopped coming to watch football games. Before that, they were 0-12, and they would still have packed stadiums. The second they brought in a black quarterback and a black coach, people stopped coming to the game. And now they got rid of the black quarter, the black coach, and people still aren't coming to the games. They want rid of the black quarterback. I really don't want to say that it's racism, but it's amazing how you can be 1-12 and have a packed stadium, and then you can be 11-5 and people don't come to the game because your quarterback and your coach is black.
I see where you're coming from, Tony, but I don't want to hear that from Tampa. Tampa has too much of a black community for that to be going on there. That is not true. I live in Tampa.
We do not participate enough, and we do not contribute enough to the community for that community to care how many people are there.
Maybe I said it wrong, but that's exactly what I mean. Tampa couldn't support that bowl game that was going on there. Where was that bowl game that they made a switch because they were tired of people breaking into the mall? You know what I'm talking about? The classic that was going on. Remember?
Florida Classic.
Yeah, they had them switch that. I mean, Tampa, like I say, there's not enough community presence in Tampa. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of black people there that are prosperous black people. They have families, you know what I mean? It doesn't, like I said, I hope that's not going on in Tampa because it shouldn't be. It's not like, I could see that maybe going on in Mississippi or even like Tennessee or someplace like that, but Tampa is too much of a major city.
But can you deny what I just said to
you?
If you live in Tampa, you know Tampa has had horrible teams for 40 years, but it doesn't matter. They have sold out that stadium every single Sunday. They didn't start having nobody come into the stadium until they hired the black coach, and then they
That's
started
true.
The black quarterback.
They
all
had,
of a sudden,
they had Doug Williams come in the 80s, though, didn't they?
And they ran him out.
Exactly.
They didn't want Doug Williams in there no more.
They ran Tony Dungy out of Tampa.
So that should tell you enough right there. So,
he was there. I mean, we was hearing some of that when we was in Tallahassee, Mike. Remember all that pressure? You was hearing that?
The team that won the Super Bowl, that was Tony Dungy's team. That wasn't,
what's his
name's team?
Let's get James on here on there. James, what you got to say?
Yeah, you got me on? All right.
Yeah, I got you.
I was going to follow up on what Tony said in reference to Tampa. I mean, he's spot on about the whole African-American presence in Tampa. I mean, me myself, I've been there over 20 years, and I could pretty much name just about almost every, you know, black person that's in Tampa, or at least those that are, you know, able to afford the tickets and get the season tickets to go to the games. We just don't go to the games in Tampa. And over the years, the only thing we're talking about is Doug Williams, Tony Dungy, John King, and so forth. And if you even kick any of those guys out or one staff, trust me, you will hear about it from the African-American community. If not, just look what happened when Indianapolis won the Super Bowl. I mean, they were proud about Tony Dungy winning the thing. They didn't really care about no Peyton Manning or nothing else. They just were happy that Tony Dungy finally won something and got credit for it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe the only times I know about Tampa, like being when it's party times, like Bob Marine and the Night Parade, I see a lot of black people out doing stuff. So maybe I don't see it on the regular. But from what I've seen, I thought that they had a larger presence of black. I mean, like I said, when I was in FAM, all we heard of black people was how many black people was in Tampa and how black people did this and that in Tampa. You know that, Carlzo. But now I'm hearing that there is no black support in Tampa anymore. When did that stop?
No, they're there. It's just they are not the part of the community that supports that stadium and supports that team. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that you don't have a black community in Tampa, but the black community in Tampa is not going to Bucks games.
So is this based on economy?
The black community in Tampa has never been the community that goes to the Bucks games. The games are supported by the white community.
That means you can't get mad though when the team makes changes like that. If I could see if it was based on economy, I could see that. But if the community is just not going, then they have nothing to say when the team makes changes like that. In my opinion,
Like I said, Tampa has had horrible seasons. They had a season they didn't win a single game, yet they sold out every single game at the stadium. All of a sudden,
it
brought in a black coach.
Black people
want
to enjoy it. If black people want to have something to say about it, they need to show up.
You brought in a black coach and you brought in a black quarterback, and those who used to sell out the stadium no longer come to the games.
Let's see what James has to say.
Show up to the game, just support them. Show up to the game.
Let me hear what James has to say. James, you got something to say?
No, I mean, I had a question real quick. I mean, what are you comparing the black presence in Tampa to, like Atlanta, D.C., or something like that, or New York?
Not like Atlanta, at least, because I know, you know, what kind of black presence is in Atlanta. But, I mean, I thought that Tampa, you know, I thought that they had a reasonable black community. Like I said, I think it was economic, but they're just not going to the game. How can you be mad when a team makes certain decisions if you're not going to support them?
I agree. That makes sense. I mean, I agree exactly where Cali Mike is coming from.
You know, if I'm in Ybor City on the weekend and see 50,000 black people in Ybor City and then they don't go to the Bucks game, what does that tell me? That means they don't care about the Bucks, right?
Exactly. But that is my point in itself. My point in itself is that I said I think that what's going on in the NFL team for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has to do with racism, because the majority of support for the Tampa Bay Bucs are white people. And when we brought in a black coach and we brought in a black quarterback, all of a sudden the stadium stopped being sold out. And
okay,
when
but why? Because you can't bring that on the team. That means every black person in Tampa should have been in that stadium.
Okay, but we're not talking about what is. We're talking about what actually happened.
Exactly. Black people didn't go, so we don't have no choice to say what goes on there.
No, black people never went. What we're saying is white people stopped going.
So, I mean, it's natural for people to want to see themselves in their heroes. If you support people, that's natural. That's not. You can't just put that on white people. That's natural. You want to go to a black movie because you want to see black people doing well in the movie.
When we got the black coach and the black quarterback, for 2 years in a row, we have not been able to watch football on television in Tampa because we have not sold out but one game in 2 years, and that's because for the last 2 years we have had.
Why aren't more black people going to the games though? That's what I don't understand.
I mean, I don't think black people have political power in Tampa. Black people don't really have political power in Tampa. One, and I mean, in terms of economics,
why does that stop them from going to football games though? We're just talking about football.
What I'm saying is Greg Schiano came in. Once they brought Schiano in, we finally sold out some games and they showed a game of Tampa on television.
Hello? Why aren't black people going to the football games?
Hello?
Can anybody answer that? Why aren't black people going to the football games?
No, the tickets are expensive.
For most of them, they can't afford it. One ticket for a football game here is like $90. If you want to bring your girlfriend and your child, you're spending $300 to go to a football game.
You've
got $300 to waste in a day.
And you said no. I mean,
no,
I asked before if it was economical. You said no. I mean, I can understand that, but I know, from what I've seen, there are plenty of affluent black people in Tampa. I mean, that's from what I've seen. I know that there's slums. I know about, you know, the community and Goyams and whatever else, all that. But from what I've seen, there's plenty of affluent black people, you know. So
there
are affluent black people
in every big city.
And most of them support their team. You go to a Raiders game, you're going to see black people at the game. And we are broke in Oakland.
Okay, but Baltimore, Maryland has one of the largest black populations in a large city in America.
Okay, so there's Detroit. And Detroit is still selling out football games. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
Okay,
and Detroit
it's not like that in Tampa. You don't have that type of majority of black people in Tampa, Florida. Yeah, you might have a lot of black people, but they're not the percentages that you have in a Baltimore, in an Atlanta, and in a Detroit. In those cities, you've got 50, 55% black people. In Tampa, you might have 15, 20% black people.
But then can you consciously expect adequate representation for only 16% of the population? Is that a reasonable
You're arguing apples and oranges. My point is very simple. When it was a white coach and a white quarterback, the stadium was always full. When it was a black quarterback and a black coach, all of a sudden people stopped coming. I think that has a racial element to it. It doesn't matter what the black people are doing. I'm telling you what's happened in Tampa.
I kind of agree with you, because the fact that they're getting out Josh Freeman right now, I'm like, really? But anyway, I want to get what James has to say on this in regards to race relations and the lack of the support of the Bucks. Do you think there's some sort of truth to that?
I'm putting it as there's some truth to that. You got to see that it's partially, you know, the team support and economics. Like Tony was pretty much pointing out, as far as, like, you know, the black presence in Tampa, it's not anything compared to Atlanta, Baltimore, Detroit, New York, Cleveland, Chicago, et cetera.
All those cities you named are cities that are below poverty level for over 50% of their people. I mean, I don't know. That was my first question. Is it economical? And everybody said no.
Yes, it is. It is an economic thing. So,
okay, well, that's different. When I first said that, everybody said no.
Yeah, I don't know why they said no, because the thing is, in Tampa is, like, when it comes to the economy, it's one of the worst, like, one of the worst places to live as far as cost of living compared to, affordability. So once you had that put into effect, you're like, okay, I got this to pay for, I got that to pay for, and then once everything is pretty much out of the way, do I have enough to go to a football game? Do I have enough to go to a hockey game, baseball game, so forth? That's the things that they got to look at. And really in Tampa, that really doesn't, you know, fall in the cards, especially when the cost of a football ticket is real high.
Okay. I could understand that, but, you know, the first thing I asked was about the economy, and two people said no. But the other thing is, okay, so are black people showing up to the tailgate parties? Are they making their presence known there?
Yeah, they're making it part. I mean, there's progress there. I mean, people go to games. My brother went to Bucks games this season and stuff like that. So it's not like they're not there. It's just that, you know, people just don't support the team, or they just don't, you know, at least be there for a prolonged amount of time. I mean, like I said, the events of letting Tony Dungy go, maybe they had a problem with that. Maybe they had a problem with getting rid of Warren Sapp and so forth. But those type of things kind of, you know, bring into a little bit of effect on why, you know, black people still don't support the Bucks.
Well, see, I remember when Tony Dungy was there. That's when, you know, when we was at FAM. I do remember him leaving. I can't really remember why he left. I don't know if they ran him out. That might be true. But I don't remember that stadium being empty when he was there. I remember looking at I remember looking at the Bucks game, and I was seeing the pirate ship, cannons going off. I remember seeing girls in the little jacuzzi in the midfield out there. I mean, I remember seeing stuff going on in Tampa where I was like, okay, that stadium is live. I mean, was that not what was going on?
They still have that type of effect, but I don't know if that's like the owners or the GMs or anything like that. Because I mean, with me and the owners, I mean, I see that the Grizzlies is pretty much focused on me and you more than the Tampa Bay Bucks. Maybe that's part of it, but at least it seems like they've had a lot of cutbacks over the past 5 or 6 years as far as going after free agents and things like that. You know, compared to previous times.
Well, this past year they went all out though. So I mean, maybe in the past five, but this past year, you know, things didn't go expected this past year. You know, you had Jarry Evans, he got injured. Was it Evans or Knicks? I can't really remember. But anyway,
Nick,
both of their called Knicks. But both of their both their starting guards got injured. You know, things didn't go that well, but they did go out. They got them. They got Vincent Jackson. You know, they tried to put together a good product this year. So I can't say about past year, but I know this year we can't put that on them because they tried to go out and put together a good product.
Yeah. I mean, that it never like money. Where
they had cap space.
Well,
you know, but
okay.
But my point is, like I was saying, you can't, you know, I mean, in any reasonable situation, you can't expect, you know, adequate representation if, you know, if your percentages aren't, you know, showing up there. Like, you know, like Tony said, if it's 16% of the people, you can't expect it's not going to be a black team. I mean, people go out to see what they want to see. That's why, you know, you look at the NBA was actually about to fall apart because white people didn't want to go out to see all these black faces jumping all, you know, dominating the game. So when you had Berkeley, when you had a Magic versus Bird, that kind of changed the dynamic. And then you had a superstar like Jordan who could come in, who could appeal to everybody. That kind of brought basketball back. Football, I mean, maybe because Tampa's in the South, I don't know. You know, it's kind of different in the South. But maybe, you know, I don't know. Like I said, people want to see themselves in their heroes. So, you know, it's kind of I could definitely see a drop-off, you know, if you have a dominantly black team, you know, as opposed to, you know, everybody, you know, that's human, that's kind of America. You know, everybody wants the good all-American, you know, Joe Montana, blonde, blue-eyed, number 16, Peyton Manning. You know, every, you know, that's what the people want to see. You know, whether they come out and say it or not, that's what they want to see. So, but, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you got to look at the representation. If there's only 16% of the people there, you can't expect a team that's going to cater towards that 16%. They're going to go for the majority of the people so they get the majority of the money.
Exactly. Mm. I agree.
All right. Any comment on that, Wiley?
I again, my comment is I'm not trying to say anything about our racial element in this city as far as our diversity or our willingness to work together. What I'm saying is in that stadium, for 40 years, you have had white people sell it out every single Sunday until we started having black coaches and black quarterbacks, and then all of a sudden they stopped coming. And when you sit and say, well, the black people should have came and filled in their spots, that's not the point. The point is, why did you stop loving your team just because your team started being black? I don't get that. You know, if you love the Tampa Bay Bucks,
but
the Tampa Bay Bucks
Tony,
are red and gold. The Tampa
though,
Bay Bucks are not black and white.
But that's human nature, Tony. You want to see yourself represented in what you're looking at. When you watch TV, I'll admit, and, you know, I got plenty of white friends, plenty of black friends. I don't really look at race like that. But when I watch a TV show, I'll give it an extra look if there's a black starting character. Even, you know, I'll be like, okay, let me check this out, because I might see something in myself and whoever that character is. You don't want to look at something and totally not see anything you can't relate to. So, you know, like I say, you're going to, and the team is going to pander towards whoever the majority is.
Okay, but it, to me, it's just obvious that when you had the black coach 2 years ago, we didn't sell out a single game. You get last year, we didn't sell out but one game. You get Shiano in this year, and all of a sudden, they decide they're going to start selling out a couple of games, and
I'll admit, that was a clear statement. Yeah, I'll admit that's a racial element. But I won't say it's racist. I'll say it's racial. I won't say it's racist, though. You know what I'm saying?
I think it was a clear statement.
Like I said, I'll say that it's racial, but I won't say that it's racist. You know, I don't think it's, you know, I won't say there's a prejudice involved in it. I just said that it is a racial element to it, definitely. Yeah, I agree to that.
And I think the whole thing about Josh Freeman is another part of that, where they're still saying, we're not satisfied with you just getting rid of the coach. We want rid of the quarterback, too.
Well, what I'm saying is, for example, with Tampa, do you think maybe to bring people back in the stadium, bring in a Tim Tebow to back up Josh Freeman? What do you think about something like that?
Oh, no, they wouldn't be happy with that if Josh Freeman is still the one playing.
Well, first I'll say this. If Josh Freeman was performing and Tampa was winning, there wouldn't be any argument in the first place. Let's get that across.
I agree.
Now, Josh Freeman does have weapons in Tampa. They got Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams. Those are two excellent wide receivers. Mike Williams can be a – I mean, I thought he had potential to be at least top 10 wide receiver. I don't know what he's doing this season. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I really don't watch any Bucks games. You guys tell me, where is the problem at? Is it with the receivers or is it with Josh?
I can't say it's – well, I can't really say –
Josh Freeman,
he has like up and down games. You know, one time he's like showing like, man, he's a really good player, and then sometimes he doesn't really show he's a really good player. So he's hot and cold, and then the defense, I guess, has given up some big plays, particularly the Eagles and the Saints games that I was at.
Okay, so just looking at Freeman, you can say he's not a consistent quarterback. In other words,
right. Now,
okay,
when
you I mean, yeah, you can say that. I mean, his numbers aren't bad, though. That's the thing. His numbers aren't
that's
bad this year.
Not,
he's over 4,000 yards, and he has more than a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. He's just
Tony
his
Romo,
completion percentage
Tony
is really
doing
bad.
The same thing in Dallas, but we know how that story is. So we know Tony Romo is not consistent. So we can say that. Can we say?
But they're not
Josh,
trying to get rid of Romo though in Dallas.
Huh?
They're not going to get rid of Romo in Dallas, I don't think.
Shoot. No. You need to listen to some Dallas. You need to listen to what you're talking
I've
about.
I've heard some stuff, but they're not getting rid of
Romo.
We're
talking about Josh Freeman. So can we say Josh Freeman isn't a consistent quarterback?
In terms of his completion
percentage,
yes.
Okay. When you don't have a consistent quarterback, you get to kind of talk about the quarterback. Hey, that's in any city.
Okay, but in some cities, it ain't just about consistency.
And I agree, but, you know, play up. Step your game up. What else can you do?
That's true. You can only step his game up.
But it's the NFL. You know, if you don't.
But
you know,
I don't understand
this.
Then how can a Tim Tebow, how can a Tim Tebow be pushed to be going some places, but yet a Josh Freeman can't then?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
Tim
like
Tebow
I said,
is the stereotype.
No, he does, definitely. But like I said, step your game up. I mean, Tim Tebow was brought in to try to push. He was brought in to try to push Mark Sanchez, who's inconsistent. You know,
right?
So I mean, you know.
But why would they push him with Tim Tebow, an even more inconsistent quarterback?
Exactly. Why'd they do that? Why'd they do that in New York?
But
I'll
give you an example. What's his name for the Jets? What's his last name?
Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez could never be the starting quarterback of a team in the South. Never.
Why is that?
Why? Because he's Mexican. And we have all in the South, they have issues with that.
I don't know about
you don't
it.
Have
I mean,
to
like I said,
well, look at Carolina and Cam Newton. Hold up. Look at Carolina and Cam Newton. You trying to tell me if Cam Newton didn't have one more bad year, they're going to be like, get another quarterback in the draft? After what Cam Newton has shown, I mean, Cam Newton's not necessarily embracing Carolina.
Look at what's going on with Blaine Gabbert in Jacksonville. That's a blonde, blue-eyed guy who's in the South who's about to.
But he's pathetically horrible. He's horrible. You talking about a guy that's flat out horrible? Cam Newton's not a horrible quarterback.
Hold on. At times this year, Cam Newton has looked horrible. We can agree on that. At times this year, he's looked horrible.
But he has a sample size to show that he can play in the NFL. He can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He has a very strong sample size to show that. Blaine Gafford does not have a strong sample size to show that. Josh Freeman has
a
strong sample size to show that.
Some of Newton's numbers can be misleading, man. Like I said, I mean, his passing numbers last year were elite numbers, but he's not an elite passer. Never mind an elite quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when you look at his resume, Blaine Gabbert's resume, you're going to go with Josh. I mean, even Josh Freeman, too, you're going to go with Josh Freeman's resume, too. And even Shytown was saying, they're talking about thinking about getting rid of Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Are you kidding me? That's whatever.
I agree, too. That's why I said there was people in Pittsburgh who didn't like him coming in anyway. That's what I meant by that. So I agree with that. That's Pittsburgh. That's a whole different can of worms up there.
And we consider ourselves a family at Pittsburgh, and you don't just fire coaches because things are going bad.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen in Pittsburgh. We've only had
especially two-time Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
We've only had three coaches in the entire history of four coaches in the entire history of the whole program. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not like we let go of our coaches in bad times.
That's true. I agree with that. That's
but
more
anyway,
we
got to wrap this up here because we're over time anyway. So any final comments, and particularly on Tim Tebow and the Bucks or maybe or anything like that? Let me start with you, James.
The thing about Tim Tebow is, man, I don't see him in Tampa. I see him ending up in Jacksonville. I mean,
that was pretty much his only choices. He was bad in New York last year, so it's pretty much the last resort with him as far as, like, this next season comes around, and it's going to be do or die for him next season. I don't see him in Tampa Bay. I don't think they would even try to make that move. That would be a big mistake.
Only thing trying to sell tickets.
All right, let me get with you, Shatown. What's your opinion? You got any final comments?
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, this is, you know, year three for Freeman, so next year is four. I mean, you drafted the guy first round, so when you draft a quarterback first round, you're looking at being your quarterback, you know, your quarterback of the future, your franchise quarterback. So, I mean, next year it's going to be a big year for him, though. I mean, either he takes it up that notch to that level or, you know, hey, or maybe you start hearing again about rumors or trade or maybe looking like we had that conversation last week or maybe looking at, you know, another direction at somebody bringing someone else in. Bringing in Tim Tebow, I mean, hey, he didn't do nothing to push Mark Sanchez or nothing, so that was a failure in New York. Like I said, I think that was more, again, them just taking a chance and coaches never embraced it. So also, too, let's say Tampa Bay does go that route. Let's say Greg Schiano doesn't want that and management does that. That's going to kind of commit a rift with coach and management with that because we all know Rex Ryan didn't want Tim Tebow, and that's going to be Schiano's second year, you know. So obviously the way they got with him, like they're going to keep him in there for a while. So that might create some chaos, so they might as well just leave it alone.
All right, let me go with Wiley. What you got to say?
I think Tim Tebow is going to be the number one draft pick of the TBN network. I think next year he is going to be the freshman televangelist of the year.
He might be governor of Florida next year.
Oh, so you're saying he's out of the NFL next year, basically. That's what you're saying.
Yes, I think Tebow.
I don't think
done.
So. I don't think he's out of the NFL next year. I disagree. Somebody's going to take him and – it's going to be this whole circle. It's going to be this whole circus again. I really believe that.
Josh McDaniels might be a head coach again, so wherever he goes to be a head coach, he might go and get Tim Tebow.
Let me say that.
I think he's
going to
be televangelist of the year.
Okay, what you got to say? What you got to say, Josh, Kelly, Mike?
Tim Tebow is Vince Young Jr., and I'm done.
Oh, man.
That's so sad. You can say Tommy Frazier Jr., but not Vince Young Jr. Tim Tebow is sort of like the, like I said earlier in the first show this year, he's like the Elvis Presley and the Eminem of quarterbacks in the league. What I mean is he, like Watley was saying last week, he's an athlete. He's a great athlete. You know, you don't really see too many white guys who are great athletes playing in the NFL. And he's more like that Tommy Frazier. That yeah. What is it? You know, that option kind of a guy, you know, that can run, that type of thing, who doesn't really have a great arm in terms of accuracy and things like that. But since it's
like
Tim Tebow being able to do it, he has blown up out of proportion. Or you can even put Justin Bieber in that conversation. He's the first of a particular kind. He's the first of a particular kind that's not black, you know, that can do certain things. And then, you know, a certain group of America, they worship him because of that. So
I don't know,
that's
man. All those dudes you just named are successful. Them people are not successful.
Hold on, first of all. Tim Tebow's success, you're talking about financially, he's very successful.
Elvis, Eminem, and Justin Bieber are all successful and winners. Tim Tebow stinks.
Justin Bieber? I don't put Justin Bieber. This is a pop culture conversation.
He's racking money, though. He's racking money.
Justin Bieber, I don't consider him to be elevated. But what I'm saying is at the end of their careers, what Wiley was saying, they're going to pump up Tim Tebow as being the greatest of all time, just like they pumped up Elvis as being the greatest of all time. And I'll give Eminem credit. He's a pretty good rapper. But is he in the top five? I don't think he is. But he's a good rapper. I'll give Eminem. But they're going to pump him up as if he's the greatest rapper of all time, just like they may pump up Justin Bieber as if he's the greatest teen pop of all time, just like they're going to might pump up Tim Tebow as being the greatest quarterback of all time.
But
what'd you say?
I said all those dudes were successful while they were doing it. Tim Tebow is not successful now.
I'm telling you, somebody's gonna find a way to put him in a position for him to succeed. This is not the end of Tim Tebow. You can book that, and it's gonna go.
You can look at it that way.
Somebody's gonna give him another opportunity. He's not leaving the NFL. Let's just put it that way.
Let me tell you guys this: the only reason that Tim Tebow is able to do what he is doing now is because he was dominating, mudding every team in the SEC, who's supposedly the best conference in college football. But somehow
He has become a celebrity, and the people are going to hold on to that celebrity whether he's a good football player or not.
All right.
He has
the
become
final
a
comment.
Celebrity.
Yeah, the final. Hold on, Wiley. We got to go though. But Wiley, do you understand my analogy with the Justin Bieber, the Eminem, and the Elvis Presley? That's how Tim Tebow is basically. That's what he is. He's the first.
Yeah.
I don't want to put any race on it, but I'm just keeping it real. He's the first white great athlete to ever get into the NFL. That's just the point I'm saying, and he's going to be elevated because of that. Just like, you know, this is what it is. Oh, you can even say Vanilla Ice. He can be Vanilla Ice of the quarterbacks of the NFL.
Yeah, he's
a white
man.
Yeah.
No, he's not. That's different. Vince Young is a far better athlete. But all right, whatever. Even though it was the last comments, I want to hear what James had to say in regards to my comments on Tim Tebow. You can disagree or agree.
What about, you know, his height? You know, the amount of height, like being Elvis Presley or Eminem or something like that.
Yeah.
Man, I kind of get that because, I mean, they're kind of drawing to strange reference to this guy because, I mean, like, they've been doing that ever since he was in Florida, dude. So I don't see any problem with that comment. All right.
I get what you're saying with that, though.
All right. We'd like to thank everybody for listening. It was a very good show. We're going to be here next week, January 2nd. CMT Firestorm, if you want to listen to the show, go to Block Talk Radio. It's a pleasure having you on the show. Have a good week. Merry Christmas. Peace out.
Peace out,
Ray. It's the Sport of Kings.